global inflation has hit its highest level since 2008, OECD says. And then we also have some market indicators from Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett, and it looks like there may be a big market crash coming. Or we're also hearing that we're in a V-shaped recovery and demand is so high, supply hasn't caught up yet, and the economy is just recovering too quickly. Back when the market crashed in 2008, the media kept saying everything was fine, buy, 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 it's fine, it's fine. Because if they start saying it's not fine, then the market crashes. But they keep telling everyone it is fine, and then the market crashes, and then people don't trust the media anymore. So I hope y'all are getting ready for this. Lumber prices are through the roof. There's a meme going around showing $1,000 worth of lumber back in fall. Today, you can't get anything done. It's really crazy. It's making it extremely expensive to buy houses. It's increasing the cost of houses by up to like $40,000 for new constructions, which means people are buying up houses at massive premiums, which is it's making it so middle class, working class, and lower class people can't buy houses because rich people are desperately trying to get out of the dollar and buy houses they think are going to be undervalued. And then Joe Biden says, we want to print several trillion dollars again.
Brilliant.
And a petition now says 2.3 million signatures at change.org says print another $2,000 per person stimulus.
What?
Because
oh,
that's good news for the economy. But hey, at the same time, the media is saying everything's A-okay. So we're going to get into all this stuff. Obviously, we have some stuff to talk about with Fauci. We can make fun of CNN because their ratings are in the gutter and they're obsessed with Trump and they know they're obsessed with Trump. And Don Lemon's complaining about how they're obsessed with Trump while they still talk about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a boring thing to talk about, man, at this point. But anyway, we're going to talk about it. And we're hanging out with Freedom Tunes.
Freedom Tunes. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. Happy to be here. This is going to be an exciting show. Very pumped about the news we're getting here about the economy. Sounds great. I trust the media.
Yeah.
Well, so the media is saying the economy is on fire and the economy is on fire. I saw an article.
How can they go wrong?
I saw an article. It was like the media. It was like the economy is on fire. And I was like, wow, that sounds bad.
It's mostly peaceful. It's a mostly peaceful
economy.
Saying,
on fire means good.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, wait.
That's like when people type in the chat, fire Ian.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Fire. That's fire.
That's hilarious.
Fire comma Ian.
I had to tell myself that or I would have gone insane.
Heck yeah.
Speaking of fire.
It's like Jack mentioned this the other day, the Lionel Hutz thing on The Simpsons.
Yes.
Where it's like free consultation, no money down. And then it says he put a question mark, free consultation, no comma, money down.
Yes.
Fire comma Ian.
Yes.
Also, the internet has been knocked out here, I guess, because there's like a storm or something
bad.
We almost
so
died.
Whatever, we record this and it goes up on iTunes and Spotify, so hey, how about you just give us a good review? But anyway, yeah, Seamus is here.
That's right. Lydia and I almost died earlier.
We did,
how bad the storm was.
That's
crazy. Driving back from Waffle House, and it was coming down so unbelievably hard, we could barely see in front of us. It was actually terrifying.
It was one of those like sideways rains.
So bad,
yeah,
dude.
It
looked like a tornado for a second, you know?
Yeah.
We can get those warnings out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I saw a cow
then
floating by.
It's true, we did, yeah.
Spinning. Oh, boy. Yeah, yeah.
But that was the cow of its own volition.
It
jumped and
it just
spinning.
Did that.
It just
I think
happened.
It was a UFO, actually.
A spinning cow.
Yeah.
Ian's got a crystal ball.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I'm thinking,
top of it.
You know, lumber might be expensive, but now maybe is the time to build a geodesic dome as your house.
That doesn't take wood, right?
You could do it without wood, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Every time I see a lumber truck on the road now, I'm like, I could retire right now. But no, I don't. I'm here in the corner pushing buttons as well.
Seamus, how much? Remember I did that voice for you on that one episode? How much did you owe me?
We're not having this conversation right now. Dude, there's like 7 episodes Tim has done voices for that I've not paid him for yet.
The check is in the
mail.
I keep sending the invoices.
I
and
sent
then,
it to you. Yeah, you know. No, I'm getting those.
I'm getting those.
I've seen them, Tim. You don't have to tell me. I sent a check in the mail. Did you not get that? That's so weird.
Price
of paper is going up because the price of lumber is going up. The checking book has gotten expensive.
Actually, that might be true.
Yeah.
Pencils.
And for us animators, that's really tough, which means if you want to support me and what I do, check out one of these t-shirts. We got Freedom Tunes t-shirts now. Just go to freedomtunesmerch.com and you'll be able to purchase one of these bad boys. Help support us. YouTube's kind of finicky with the ad revenue. We don't do a huge amount with crowd funding. So yeah, please purchase one of these shirts to help us.
People may not realize this, but Seamus does all of his Freedom Tunes on paper.
Yes, on paper.
He has paints, watercolors.
Yeah.
And then he takes a picture with his smartphone and just, you know, takes a picture of each and every one.
It's not a smartphone. It's an old Nokia, but yeah,
quality.
Basically. And then I text it to myself. Yeah.
And then he puts it into some free Linux software to just render it all as a single video.
Exactly.
It's real.
That's why it looks as good as it does.
That's true. Oh.
You get that fantastic, charming style. No, I'm kidding. That's fraud, Tim. People are going to buy these t-shirts on false pretenses.
Well, how about instead they go to timcast.com and send them to become members by clicking the members only button, and you'll get access to the exclusive members only area of the website. Yesterday we talked about the Secret Wars conspiracy theory, and then we did like a whole Trump fan fiction thing where he's like flying a fighter jet, and like Natalie Portman jumps out and like lands in on an Iranian tanker. It was really fun. Mm-hmm.
Mars
that sounds
involved.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me, you guys. That's really cool. I'm glad I was here to be part of that.
Part of the story is that Brie Larson was recruited early on, but betrayed us to the CCP, stealing the Genesis device from Iran to give to Xi Jinping to make him immortal.
Yeah.
If you want to hear that story, go to timcast.com and become a member, and you can waste your time listening to it, but at least you'll laugh.
Here's the thing. If you want to become a member, it should be to watch the after show that I'm going to be on. Jack's a good guy, but I wasn't there in the last episode, which means it's going to be significantly less entertaining. Yeah, because my friends just ditched me.
Well, the after show the bonus segment for this one is going to be the Fauci fan fiction.
And it's also going to be just him beating me with the 2x4 that he has because he
very
purchased
expensive.
America.
I just want to let everybody know the whole hour before we're starting the show and we're setting up, it's just me and Seamus doing various voices of Alex Jones and Anthony Fauci.
Droplets. Droplet. Getting your droplets.
Two masks. And that was it. It was just us saying masks and droplets.
Masks and droplets. Yeah.
And everyone's laughing. No, the funniest was when Seamus was singing Numa Numa as Jordan Peterson.
Oh my gosh.
Like Maya he, Maya ha ha. What does it mean? It's like we have to actually analyze this. Well, first of all, there are some people who claim that it's an entirely separate language. Like these gibberish words actually mean something in a different country.
The economy is on fire. Is that good or bad? I don't know, but this guy's talking here about Jordan Peterson.
It's complicated, man. Like, hard times create strong men, so maybe it's not the worst thing in the world.
Yes. All right. Everybody go to timcast.com, become members, and then you can hear this nonsense at 11 in the private
thing. FreedomTunesMerch.com. All right, guys, let's check it out.
All right. Over at Fox Business, they say global inflation hits highest level since 2008, OECD says. Inflation rose by the fastest pace in 12 years. Mm. And we all know what happened in 2008. That was fun. I mean, I was broke, you know, back then, so
it didn't
impact me all that much. Do you guys remember like the market crash? Ian did, right?
Yeah,
I do.
It didn't affect me at all. I was working paycheck to paycheck, so it didn't mess with me much. Renting at the time.
Yeah, I was like 14, so it didn't affect me all that much either. Yep. It wasn't as 16. Huge of a deal. It affected people I knew. I mean, it affected people. Some people I knew really horribly, unfortunately. Their families ended up on really rough times because of that.
I remember when it happened. What I told people was like, everyone's freaking out, people I knew. And I'm like, listen, like, here's the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like right here and you're here and the market crashes. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
Tim felt
me.
More equal to everyone. And that's how socialism works.
That's right.
At the very, very bottom.
We went around
celebrating. Brought to
everybody
level.
Was cheering when it happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember it even until like 2011. Do you guys remember like the fallout didn't seem to start to rumble until like 2010 or 2011
what do you
or something?
Mean?
Like the... It just became a big deal, like the fact that we had bailed out all these banks and established all this debt didn't seem to like shock people until a couple of years later.
Yeah, it was this weird thing. You started to see these populist movements spring up on the right and left. You had Occupy Wall Street and you also had the Tea Party, and mm-hmm. the establishment was clearly very threatened by them. I remember there was this show, The Newsroom, which was always putting forward the PC narrative in their stories, and they had an arc where the character was like horribly intimidated by the Tea Party and he was a brave journalist for criticizing them as if like no one on TV was doing that. It was hilarious how horribly they were and how hard they were trying to make the Tea Party these villains.
I remember that.
It was heroic. Mm-hmm. They still do that today. They're like, oh, this person holds this brave, courageous revenant idea that Trump is bad.
Yeah.
So that's really revolutionary there. I'm really impressed.
As an aside, for those that are listening, we're experiencing internet troubles.
Yes.
So I just switched to one of our backups because I guess like internet across the board for our network is being hit really hard. It was a bit bad storm. So I switched. Hopefully this one works. It'll probably reduce the resolution, but we're going to need to get a power cable to charge because it's just going through my phone.
Okay.
Well,
yep. Hopefully that works.
What do you have, USB-C?
Yeah.
I got one right here. Here. Yeah. Use
nice.
Mine.
Is it long enough?
Yeah, I think so. There you go.
Let's get it on.
So that means fewer people are going to see this, so we can talk about more controversial things or our feelings.
Let's talk about our deep private feelings. Let's talk about legalizing hemp, because if the wood industry, if the lumber industry really is going spiraling,
interesting.
Let's show this. Let me check this out. You want to talk about market crash? We got this, this tweet's going viral from Brian Nichols. Oh. It says, FYI. And there's a big pile. It says, fall 2020, $1,000 in lumber. And you can see all of this wood and they've painted the ends of them blue. And then next to it, it says, May 2021, $1,000 in lumber. Dude, that's nuts. Oh, for those that are listening, it's basically like a tenth.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
A tenth of the lumber?
Yeah.
Now,
One quarter.
I haven't been able to fact check this at all, but I've heard that it was had something to do with Trump's tariffs. So that they, the Canadian lumber won't, they won't ship it down here because it's too expensive.
I don't believe it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything about it.
I don't believe it. So we had, when we had Joe Kent on, he was talking about the Pacific Northwest and timbering and all that, and U.S. regulations making it very difficult to, you know, source wood in the United States. I just don't believe it. I don't trust the media. Whenever they come out and they're like, you know, Donald Trump did this, it's bad. I'm like, I don't believe you.
It's like, what wouldn't they blame him for?
Yeah, it's
the boy who cried wolf. I'm sure
like,
some of this is his fault, but when you label everything as being the result of Trump's failures, then it's like, we're not going to believe you.
Right, something actually is. Brian Stelter could be sitting in a room with Don Lemon, and he could fart, and then Don Lemon looks at him and
Trump.
Goes,
It was Trump.
It was Donald Trump. And Don Lemon goes,
I saw him.
You're right.
It absolutely was.
Yeah.
I'd take credit for, first of all, if I farted, it would be much louder. It would be the greatest fart you ever heard.
Yes.
So lumber. This means houses are going to spike.
Yeah.
It means
something like $19,000 to the average cost of a house right now.
It's going to have a major ripple effect. Check this out. So hold on a minute, right? We got food shortages already. We got beef and chicken. And a lot of people keep saying, like, whenever we talk about this, they're like, Tim, there's no shortage. I'm like, okay, well, we ain't getting it. There's reports of a trucker shortage, and people are like, there's not. There's truckers all over the place. I'm like, okay, well, for some reason, people aren't driving.
Yeah.
Gas shortages, food, whatever, chlorine, I don't know, weird stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
So think about it this way. Somebody's got to do a job. There's a lot of jobs that require wood. That's why people go buy wood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to these guys that I know, they build skate parks, and I asked them about, like, hey, what's going on? Like, what have you seen? And they basically told me it's really bad right now. And so here's what I'm worried about. These guys are going to go to their clients and be like, hey, you know, normally we do these events and it costs $100,000 to build the park. Okay. Well, now it's going to cost $500,000 to build the park.
Mm-hmm.
And the event is going to be like, nope. That's literally our entire budget. We still got to hire labor. We got to rent space. We can't do it. Mm-hmm. We'd have to charge $200 per ticket instead of, you know, $20 or $40. So they say, okay, we're not doing it. Events get canceled. This exacerbates the labor shortage. It means that without the raw materials to do the work, there's a ripple effect. It's not just the wood that you can't buy. It's the construction jobs. It's the jobs that that money goes and circulates to. So sandwich shops.
Yeah.
It's the events that we're going to hire the contractors to build the thing for them in the first place that now can't do it. Think about like shows, like stages, like Broadway or something. We got to build a set. Sorry, we can't get the wood. No show.
Mm-hmm.
And then people don't work and then no money. There's already a labor shortage. It's crazy to me that they're talking about how it was like we're in a V-shaped recovery. Here, let me pull this up. We got the story. It's Fox
this
Business.
This is what a recovery looks like. Huh.
The V-shaped recovery is here. And I'm like, it's worse than it's ever been. What are you talking about, man? Internet went out again.
Hmm.
So this must be a regional outage because my phone, you know, should not be cutting out like that. But this is brutal.
When
you live in the middle of nowhere.
Welcome back, everyone.
Yeah.
To the hottest of the hot.
That's right.
Awesome. I guess we can try satellite. Show.
We're going
to our third internet option right now, backing it up to satellite. Maybe we'll get a little bit more of a fluid vibration that way.
We love you. Please stay tuned.
Yes.
We're doing our best.
What this is telling me is that we desperately need a materials revolution. Wood is incredible.
Graphene.
We need
yeah,
a graphene revolution,
absolutely.
Tim. If that's what you think, then I'm with you, man.
I agree.
That for real, or just figure out how to, like, you know, you can recover plastic and then break it down with mushrooms, like a Pestilopsis
yes.
microspora, and turn it into sugar.
Interesting. I don't know. Please educate me on this. I don't know anything about it.
You can use that sugar and alloy it with other materials to create, like, building materials.
Wow.
So you can recover plastic, digestive and recovered plastic.
So why do you think this isn't being done right now?
Because the copper industry has a huge monopoly on the system right now, and obviously the lumber industry. You can see William Randolph Hearst amongst others, you know, tree magnets. They don't want hemp to be legal. Randolph Hearst actually tried to get people to make it illegal because it was competing with his wood.
I was
going to say.
Literally. That's literally what was happening.
Take we're all 12 years old.
Mad wood competition back in the 20s and 30s. And then what other materials are up for? Obviously,
steel.
The petroleum industry,
steel,
the steel
yeah.
industry, which is like mm-hmm. the coal industry.
It's, dude, it all ripples. And so they keep saying it's like, oh, supply just needs to catch up. It's like, bro, nobody wants to work.
Exactly.
Nobody's working. And I got a bunch of these stories. Well, look at this one. PBS. Are unemployment benefits keeping Americans home?
That's
oh, look
hilarious.
At the labor shortage, and it's from yesterday.
Wow. Does paying like people not to do something stop them from doing it?
This is the problem with leftist media, is that the right was talking about this months ago.
Yeah.
Last year, Thomas Massie and some Republicans were like, hey, don't pay people not to work.
It was a bad idea.
Yeah. Now PBS is like,
That's how you destroy your economy.
It's incredible.
You can't pull out from it. Yeah.
The entire unemployment industry is based on, like, here, we'll pay you. But if you start working again, we're going to cut off your benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's horrible.
What the heck?
Right. So when you're getting $16 an hour, what are they going to pay? You know what's creepy? We were trying to order food here the other day, and a bunch of the restaurants were just closed for no reason.
Oh. Yep.
I'm pretty sure Wednesday is at Memorial Day. You know what I mean? Like Memorial Day was Monday, Tuesday they were closed, Wednesday they were closed, and I'm like, did people just not show up?
Yep.
So it was funny because we ordered food and then it defaulted for today because for no reason the restaurant was closed the other day. And I guess, you know, no one noticed. Mm-hmm. And so when you clicked order, it just defaulted for the next availability.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The food arrived today?
Yeah, we had it. It was delicious. Oh,
okay.
It was
that great. Works out.
You know, shut up. And I'm like, okay, so I guess they reopened. I was worried that they were going to be like permanently closed or something. Maybe it's just people wanted a long weekend, you know?
It definitely would probably coincide with not having a lot of customers too. I would think, because most businesses wouldn't shutter for 3 days for Memorial Day unless they were not
making
money.
Dude, you drive around.
If you can't have employees, though, I mean, if people aren't showing up, you kind of don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You drive around looking at these restaurants, and they're just, like, offering crazy amounts of money.
Oh, yeah. The Waffle House had a sign that was like, we are fighting the pancake patriarchy. Please apply here. And
no,
like, we'll promote
up.
Women more. I'm not kidding. Yeah, we'll promote women.
It said pancake patriarchy.
Yes,
did,
the pancake patriarchy.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'm not eating here. This is ridiculous.
Now we eat this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
But they were trying to push
people. Social justice.
Yeah, it was like using social justice stuff, but to try to get people to work there. It was very strange.
Oh, yeah, gross. Because the people with college degrees are the people who are going to be working
at Waffle House. Oh, my
God. Seriously. It doesn't make sense. It's true.
Oh,
you know,
my
right.
goodness, you're right.
Roasting them, man. Wow.
That's true, though.
That's brutal. That's mean to the Waffle House people.
I know, it's
yeah,
true.
Honestly,
I'm
no.
Sorry.
In all honesty, yes. Like, the people at Waffle House, like, work pretty hard.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you're talking
true.
About, like,
yeah, why are you working at
Waffle
House?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think most college students in the liberal arts field are.
Would not,
wouldn't, like, survive at a job like
seriously.
That.
Seriously.
Well, you got to pay back your loans, you know.
That's true.
Yeah,
and if your love of theater is that
strong enough, you got to do it somehow.
I've been there.
So what do we do? We got this story from Business Insider. Warren Buffett's favorite market indicator hits 200%, signaling stocks are overpriced and a crash may be coming.
Well, that's almost like they just flooded the market with liquidity without really thinking about the long-term effects.
It does seem like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they were thinking about the long-term effects. Do you look at the things that have been hit, beef and gas?
Yeah.
Building
I don't
supplies?
Know. I really think they just look for these Band-Aids to slap onto things, and they hope they'll be able to figure something out later. I don't think it's intentional. I don't think they're trying to destroy it. I think they're just unbelievably short-sighted.
Makes sense. Yeah, I was saying the other day that it's like the solution is exacerbating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do, so they're like, the economy's is in flames and it's collapsing, so just pump more money and print more money like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what most of these countries do before hyperinflation hits.
Yes.
The economy starts stagnating, so they print money and spend it. Mm-hmm. They do these big government spending packages where they're like, I know, if we print a bunch of money and then spend it ourselves, that will kickstart the economy because then the people we hire will buy stuff, and then you end up with trillion-dollar bills.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Modern monetary policy. They did that after World War II. They invested in the infrastructure, though, and were able to rebuild like factories and things that actually did kickstart the economy, seemingly. But they didn't do that this time around. They just gave the money out.
Did you guys hear that Russia dumped like $45 billion from one of their funds?
What?
No.
They don't want to. I mean, it's not like it's the most amount of money in the world or whatever, but that's $45 billion.
Yeah, it's quite a few dollars.
They're selling off. So if Russia is trying to get off the dollar and China's trying to get off the dollar and China's using dollars for the Belt and Road Initiative, I think maybe buy some.
Maybe you guys should try to get out of the dollar too.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. I'm not giving financial advice here. All right, I'm not qualified.
But American citizens
I personally think it might be a good idea to try to diversify your portfolio a little bit. If you have savings, maybe you should have something else.
What if they don't have a portfolio or savings? What do you do?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, exactly. That's a very serious problem. But I guess my point is, if you have money saved up, it's probably. I mean, I shouldn't say probably. There's a chance it will not be quite as valuable down the line, and that. Might be more so the case than it usually is. I mean, we could see the dollar, I mean, maybe halving in value. I don't know. But I don't have a lot of faith in the dollar right now.
Dude, I'm talking to these skate park guys. If I was trying to get any of the work done today, 4 to 5 times the cost, impossible. We'd be able to do it.
Yeah.
We would not be able to get any of that job done.
Yeah.
So all the stuff we have right now, this is what you got to realize. Everybody, if you watch like the Cast Castle vlog, we got like the venue we're putting together. We're going to be doing these live events. It would be impossible if we didn't already do it last year. Mm-hmm. Think about what that means. The economy has taken a hit that bad. Yep. I am telling you right now, last year we hired a company that came and built stuff. Mm-hmm. We're going to use that stuff so that we can do shows and expand the business. It would be impossible for us to do it today.
We got to get creative with materials, I'm thinking, for construction, because I had plans to like go build wood stuff, but I think we got to either get shipping containers or I'm open to other ideas, like geodesic dome tile stuff made out of
plastic. What? Steel? Plastic?
Like steel and plastic, maybe?
Cheaper?
Probably.
I don't know, man.
Probably, but it's not, I don't know.
ABS. We'll 3D print everything.
Dude, we could
piece
3D,
by piece.
We can 3D print the joints and the tubes to make like giant domes out of.
Dude, this is brutal, man. Our internet is fried. Oh, there's nothing we can do about it.
The YouTube show is suffering as a result. Can you, what's up guys on YouTube? Let's go to Super Chat.
I see lots of Fs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, nothing I can do about
we're
it.
Having, I'm having a great time.
No,
I'm
chill.
Having fun with you guys, you know? I would just be hanging out with you guys tonight anyway.
I know, right?
Like, not that.
We have satellite. The satellite's down too.
Dang.
Brood.
That's rough.
So we should, are you going back to the fastest internet and just,
I'm trying, man.
Just hope.
Trying to make it work, y'all.
I mean, what a recipe for disaster we have here, not just in terms of your internet, but in terms of the economy overall. I mean, with the dollar, inflation being as high as it's been since 2008, the stock market being drastically overvalued, at least according to Warren Buffett's indicator. I mean, usually what happens is when things go downhill, when you have a recession, they try to put a bunch more money out into the economy. They try to increase liquidity to get people investing. I don't know, like, what do they expect to be able to do this time when it crashes?
It seems like
reset.
Like a problem with our system of government, and it might not just be our system democracy in 4-year terms for presidents, but these people come into office with like a 4-year vision. They don't have like a long-term goal, because if they try and start a 20-year plan right now, in 8 years, they're gone.
Exactly. Yeah. This kind of a system incentivizes short-term thinking from political leaders.
But having a dictator that's like for life would be obviously bad.
But this is the thing, right? We are taught in schools from day one, like democracy equals good, monarchy equals bad. So we never really think about the downsides of democracy or some of the potential positives that came along with monarchy. And one of the positives that came along with monarchy was that the king had to really think about the long-term health of his kingdom, because he was going to be leaving it to his children.
Right.
So if they accumulated a lot of debt, that would be very bad for his lineage. But in our current system, the only way a politician can actually make money is if they do everything they can to pull wealth out of the system during their short term and leave the people with less overall.
And this actually incentivized our leaders to want to have children.
Yes,
like literally establishing a new church so you could marry different women so you could get a son, right?
Exactly.
Like that sounds insanity, but to be fair, that's
absolutely
a little far. But they really wanted to have kids. Mm-hmm. Now, almost none of them do. Angela Merkel doesn't have any. Macron doesn't have any. A lot of these leaders just have... they don't really care about the future because they don't really care about their kids.
Exactly. There was that quote from John Maynard Keynes when they asked him, what a perfect person to bring up
right
now, right? But they asked him, well, what do we do when we accumulate too much debt? And he said, well, in the long run, we'll all be dead. Well, of course, John Maynard Keynes never had any children. So, of course, he had that attitude. But it's funny. You can really tell how optimistic or pessimistic a person is based not on whether they say they're optimistic or pessimistic, but on whether they tell you they want to have children. And
really
people who want to have children are usually more optimistic about the future. And the people who say, no, I can't bring kids into this world, well, they're almost always pessimists. It's funny. I remember my dad kind of running this experiment. We were at a bar together right after I graduated college. And he was asking people around my age, are you an optimist or a pessimist? Oh, I'm an optimist, blah, blah, blah. Are you going to have kids? I don't know if I could bring my kids into this world. It's like, okay, well, then you're a pessimist.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting, like you said, all of these foreign leaders don't have children, or if they do, they have a very small family. I just think it's because they don't have a whole lot of faith in the future.
Does Putin have a family?
I
think
he does.
Yeah,
yes,
he does.
Yeah,
he's illegitimate. Wasn't there a video of like him teaching his daughter to do like Jeet Kune Do or something?
How to interfere in elections. Like, first, you send ballots to this. First, you have non-state actors buy $46,000 worth of Facebook ads.
That's right.
she's a little kid, and she reaches over to press enter, and she looks at him, and he like nods at her, and then she presses enter, and it says like Facebook ad purchased $1, and he's like, oh,
like,
so quick.
And then you see the electoral map switch. Yeah. He's like, yes, good, I am so proud of you.
Yes,
like, oh man, look what the world is being deprived of, this comedy gold because of the internet.
We got nothing. We're not live.
No.
We're not even live.
Well, in that case, I'm going to get another water bottle.
Do it. That
no
works.
One said you could leave. No.
Okay, it's anarchy. No one's ever going to
know. Oh, man. It's the apocalypse. It really does feel like it.
They're out to get us with this internet thing.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Do
it's
go
because
on.
Seamus is here.
It's true.
He's grabbing candy. He didn't
fire.
Care. It's fruit by the foot. You know what?
That's right.
It all started when he started promoting that merch. That's t-shirt.
Honestly, what is that? FreedomTunesMerch.com?
Well, this is what I was, I was trying to tell people to get out of the dollar, Tim. That's send those
right.
worthless dollars to me. Get some Freedom Tunes merch.
I know. I want to excite people to diversify from the dollar without panicking people about the dollar. I mean, obviously, the writing's on the wall, but... You know, don't sit in one.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And you know, another thing I've been thinking lately, because I started hitting the gym more lately.
Oh, yeah?
I think that you should invest in yourself so that when it really hits the fan, you're prepared.
What do you mean by invest in yourself, Lydia?
Hit the gym, get stronger, eat right, make yourself
I feel really targeted right now.
Eating a fruit snack.
get smart.
You know I'm right.
Exactly.
I've been working out more lately.
Heck yeah.
Everybody should be... super ripped, wearing a red flannel and carrying around an axe to chop down some trees.
That's right.
And build a log cabin.
That's what I'm saying.
Are we talking about Jack Murphy right now?
No, we're talking about everyone. Women, men, dogs.
At the Decker house.
Chickens.
We had a couple of trees at Tim's other house back in Jersey.
Oh my gosh,
and we cut them down, had them cut down, and then... So we had all this wood in the backyard, and we were just kind of chopping wood, you know?
So
that's
hard.
Some dangerous stuff,
dude,
if you know what
you're
doing.
It's fun, though, chopping wood.
Like, you got to wear proper shoes, obviously, not sandals.
Yes. You gotta wear eye protection.
I mean, you come down hard on those, and wood is sharp.
It is. It really is. And I tried a few times, and I was like, oh, my upper body is so weak. Like, I have to hit the gym harder. This is insane.
When we chopped those trees down, they, like, the people aimed the tree properly.
Mm-hmm.
So they, like, measured the height of the tree and the size of the yard.
That's great.
Then once they got everything measured perfectly, the tree came down at a perfect angle to avoid hitting anything. But when it hit the ground, it was like an earthquake.
It was insane.
You could feel everything. It was nuts.
Dang.
Yeah.
I must have been sleeping.
Really?
Yeah, this whole episode's off the rails now. Yeah.
That's wild.
Because no one's ever going to know. See, we just want the audience to know. This is why you guys have to tune in. Because when you're not watching, we just lose our minds.
We do.
One of our chickens might be transgender.
What?
Oh,
how?
Really?
Yeah, no joke. All right.
I think it's intersex if it's just an animal.
No.
What do you mean by transgender? Like it's a male acting female?
It's a female that has become the male because there's no male. And so the other night we had the fire department come out because the alarm went off. And
yeah, that was great.
Nobody would take responsibility for why it
Who
went off.
Who did it?
Because here's what probably happened. Like it was 4 a.m. and the smoke alarm went off.
Drums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was probably someone just like doing something dumb, like using a lighter.
Smoking crack in the kitchen.
Baking potatoes. Who knows?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, wasn't me. So the only thing we can do is like, we got to call the fire department out because it could be electrical fire.
Right.
The alarm's going off. We got to do a full sweep. But anyway, when it came out, the chickens, you know, they all wake up and they all walk out like all slow looking at what's going on. And then one of the chickens started crowing.
What?
And I was like, what's this noise? And then I looked over and I watched them and they all stopped. They all stopped and just stared at me. I'm like, which one of you is yelling?
Which was it?
And then they don't, nothing happens.
They didn't
And then I'm like, okay, and then I walk away and then I hear the crowing again. So I walk over and I look again. Don't see anything.
They won't tell you.
And then I walk away and then I turn around right away and then there it is. It was Roberta and she was going,
Robert?
So I looked it up, and apparently there's a thing that happens with 1 in 10,000 chickens.
Oh boy!
Where if there's no rooster, they're at the top of the pecking order. They start acting like roosters,
funny.
And they do it because they were alerting the hens to danger. And so there's the crazy thing that happens. Apparently, they only have one ovary, and if it gets infected or shuts down, they actually will lose their hen bodies and grow like rooster plumage. And start actually roosting and roostering.
Tim, I don't need to hear this liberal nonsense, all right?
This is like a gender studies course.
I know.
This is good.
This is actually more like Jurassic Park in my mind. Life finds a way somehow. It's basically what happens.
But can they reproduce? It has nothing to do with anything. No.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with
anything. I was kidding.
Just at a certain point.
There's no
point
way. That's insane.
Of like, you know, so before the show starts, we have like all of these topics lined up. And then I don't think anyone can hear because we disable the audio, but I'm hearing a ba-da-boo, 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 like every three seconds. I'm like, I can't. I'm over it.
Yeah.
We're hanging out.
We're just going to watch Jurassic Park
Mm-hmm. Let's just do Mystery Science Theater 3000. We'll just watch a movie.
So we still have some news we can talk about, but Seamus, do Jordan Peterson.
It's like, man, okay, if you're going to ask me to do Jordan Peterson the moment no one else knows what to talk about, all I have to say is the man's work isn't so trivial that it can be distilled into this caricature every single time you don't know what conversation to have because there's something wrong with the internet, man. That's not how it works. It's like, that's not fair to the man. It's really offensive.
You know what's bugging me, though?
What?
We've got high speed, very expensive internet. We've got standard cable landline internet.
Yeah.
We have mobile Wi-Fi backup and satellite, and they are all down.
It was a crazy storm.
Multiple machines.
No, I don't know what that's
like
all about.
It's 3 in the afternoon, too. That's when I was getting
Is there an internet outage going on maybe somewhere? Let me check.
I was having some weird stuff with the internet earlier when I was uploading my video, but.
Okay. Speaking of Roberta, the chicken, is she the brown
one? Hey. There are some outages.
Okay.
Yeah, so it looks like Discord, Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, Steam, PayPal all have big spikes. HBO Max has a decent spike. It's not everybody, but there's a decent amount of services that are reporting huge spikes and outages.
Ooh, we're going
I don't know, Call of Duty and Counter-Strike, it's not like critical infrastructure there or anything. But
I tell you.
That's your opinion.
Because people, gas prices, food, all this, blah, blah, blah. But if the internet goes out, people are going to go crazy.
People are going to lose their
minds. I will be so relieved.
Dude.
The internet goes, I don't have to do this anymore.
I'm free.
Tim, no. how are people going to get Freedom Tunes t-shirts? How are people going to buy Bitcoin?
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
If the internet just stopped working, I would go find some red flannel and an axe. And then I would just get some boots and I just walk into the woods and be like, well, I better start practicing.
Spend 2 years out there, write a book.
Because everybody knows that in order to be, like, actually to be able to survive, it starts with just being a lumberjack.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You have to be a lumberjack. That's the only way you can make it.
That's the only way.
That's true,
Would you start with a small tree and work your way up?
Absolutely
or would you just look for
not.
The biggest, hardiest?
No, because you have to let the small tree grow. You're just wasting it at
point.
That point.
I would rather supervise. Seamus, you do the work.
Yeah, listen, I know what I'm talking about here, all right? I'm an outdoorsman. I'm a survivalist.
You're like a master lumberjack.
Yes, basically. And I could go out there, just give me, I don't even need an axe, man. I need like a hatchet and a great redwood and maybe like 5-10 minutes.
People are just tuning in right now, not understanding the context about the internet. And they're like, what
is the internet working now?
Yeah, no,
yeah
no,
the internet's been out.
It's,
so we
it's,
just
it's cutting in and out.
Okay.
So it's just like, you know, we're chilling.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
My back hurts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were you working out earlier?
I think I pulled some.
Oh.
I went and bought an obscene amount of guns.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I wish I was invited, but I was sleeping. I was napping.
Well, that's right. You were specifically not invited.
I was also said, Tim, like, sent me a text saying, don't come. And I was asleep, so I didn't get any.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't want him to come.
Do you want to talk on the specific guns that you bought?
No. I mean, I don't even know.
He lost them in a boating accident.
I was like, all of them, please. So what happened is, I did buy a lot of guns.
Good.
I texted Crowder. I'm like, don't show anyone this video. And he was like, nice.
He's like, say what again?
I did a segment today talking about, like, there was a brief pause in money reporting. A lot of people are talking about the M2 money supply. Remember that thing where, like, the spike goes straight up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people are saying, like, we've talked about it quite a bit, and people are like, Tim, you're wrong. The M2 money supply, they just changed how it's reported. And I'm like, did you read what it says? My understanding, I could be wrong again. What they're saying is that savings accounts used to have restrictions on how much you could transfer out of the account, and they removed that because of COVID, effectively turning savings account into checking accounts, which made the money supply explode because all of a sudden people could use their savings, like, really, really quickly. So if you look at, that's M1. If you look at M2, the spike is less pronounced, but there is a big spike. And so I'm looking at all this. I'm looking at the story about, you know, Berkshire Hathaway. I'm looking at AMC stock just is nuts, like $75 yesterday. I'm looking at Dogecoin and I'm like, bro, Joe Biden wants, let me see if I have the story. We'll pull up $2 trillion in taxes, but $6 trillion in spending and $22 trillion in borrowing. What can go wrong? And I was like, I should buy stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but what do you buy?
Stock.
Gold?
No, I mean
crypto and land.
Gold and crypto, I guess.
Yeah. And copper.
So I bought guns, not
yeah,
because
guns are always going to be a good investment, man.
Bullets.
I'm sorry.
But not because I'm like the apocalypse is nigh. No, I was actually thinking like if I buy a car, cars go down
exactly.
in value immediately.
Exactly.
I have some cryptocurrency. I have some gold and silver. Mm-hmm. Like what's a good thing that's functional important? So what did I get? I bought mouthwash.
Yes.
Isopropyl alcohol. And guns, because guns are like, they're machines. They're simple machines. They work well. And my worst case scenario is, like, I just, you know, end up selling them back to stores or something, or just have them. And I think, you know, it'll be fun to go to the range, and we can film videos, and we can talk about. I look at it like the worst case scenario for me is I have these guns. We can just do vlogs where we're, like, explaining, and we get someone out to talk to us about the different kinds and everything. And I'm just like, I don't want to sit here and just have dollars that are disappearing. It was, I'll tell you, it was really freaky because we built the park, the skate park for the vlogs and the shows, and we're like trying to make this big fun space. Some people said it's like Fantasy Factory or whatever, and I was like, I want to make a big cultural thing. And I'm looking at the prices to do what we already did. We wouldn't be able to do it right now.
Jeez.
So I'm like, so by sheer nature of just having money sit around, I've lost the ability to grow the business.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
So it's like, I'm trying to figure out what to do. I'm like, hire a bunch of people ASAP. Just hire everybody. Like, you're hired. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the person here doing backflips and cartwheels in the front lawn than just having money disappear.
Yeah, but then the problem is, as the dollar inflates, it becomes more and more expensive to keep all the people you just hired.
That's a good point.
I mean, well, if, like what, like the food will get too expensive?
Yeah, like their cost of living is going to increase a lot.
Yeah, I know. Then I'll just build, you know, like
the Tim compound.
Fun fact.
No, no, we'll get maybe like a couple hundred square feet, but we'll make, you know, stand up sleeping rooms so we can fit 300 people.
That's just called the closet.
Bat cages.
What we'll do is we'll get sleeping bags that hang. Oh. So you climb in and zip up and just hang, and you don't need space.
That's smart,
and then
dude.
When it's time to wake up, they come in and hit it with a
stick.
Who
needs privacy?
Yeah. No,
we'll just put them all against the wall. In fact, we'll double them up. We'll double them up.
Just use plastic bags.
There's a lot of cicadas out. Eat the bugs.
The front of your sleeping bag has another hook to hang another person in the sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah.
Have like a little kangaroo pouch, scalable. Dude. We're all going to get real close, huh?
People should get out of cities, man.
If you can, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
Like, I go outside, you know, there's like an egg. Like, I walk into the chicken thing, there's like an egg. I just take it, and I'm like, I wash it off, and I eat it.
That's true in my city, too, but I live in a very big southern city, you know, just eggs.
So. What city?
So I'm just, I don't want to dox myself.
Oh, you know? Smart guy.
So the cicadas are getting crazy. They're like, at first, they're on the trees, and they all scream. Have you ever heard of, have you caught one?
It's their wings. I hear they're flapping their wings so fast, it sounds like they're screaming.
No,
Isn't that true?
Uh-uh.
They're actually screaming?
I don't know if they're actually screaming, but there was one flying above me, and it wasn't noisy. And then when I went to swat it, it went, rah!
Whoa.
And I was like, wow, that's
freaky, that happened,
dude.
One of them landed on me, and then I was like, get off me. And I like blew on it, and I was like, bah! I was like, oh my gosh. It was so terrifying.
So I have this thing called the bug assault.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Pump action salt blaster for bugs. And so what happens is cicada, when it like flies at me, I take its wing out and then toss it to the chickens.
So
I've basically been harvesting the cicadas from the air to give to the chickens. The chickens are going us. They're eating them all up.
When Tim said he bought a bunch of guns, that's what he was talking about.
A bunch of salt shotgun things.
Nerf.
That's what I call an assault weapon. So the thing about the cicadas is we had those in the area I grew up. I grew up right outside Chicago. And we got that. I think we're about 2 years different from you guys with the 17-year cycle. But the ground was like black. It was just covered in cicadas. It was worse than it was here. They were everywhere.
I saw a photo from Loudoun County. And it was a bush with every leaf was just covered in cicadas. Like, it was like a bush, but it was brown. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wouldn't it be great just to like throw a net over that, catch them all, and throw them into a chicken coop?
And just eat them. Just eat the bugs.
Don't eat.
Why not?
Eat
What's wrong
I heard
with
it
that?
Tastes terrible.
I've heard, somebody told me that one of their friends ate one. I think somebody here was telling me that their boyfriend ate one and that it tasted,
disgusting.
I don't even remember. No, delicious. You should try it. You should try it. No, it's really good. Do it on air.
No.
Now we're talking. You got to grind it up and put it the powder in the tub and soak in it.
Exactly.
Why don't you make cicada bread?
I don't want to. I will. I don't know.
The thing
no,
is,
I'm
like,
it,
we made cricket bread, but they were farmed crickets.
Yeah.
They were farmed, fried, and milled.
Interesting.
The cicadas are like, dude, they're out of the ground in like the middle of nowhere. There's going to be like weird parasites. And they have that. They have that new. Well, I'll tell you this. They have some kind of like fungus disease. That I think they're now, they have psilocybin in them or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Did you guys hear that? Did you hear something like that?
I did.
What?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. Whoa, dude.
Are people going on cicada
trips?
Yeah,
so they're getting this fungus and it makes them go crazy and they become even more insane about having cicada babies. And they start shaking really, 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 really fast and they basically like implode.
Their butts fall off.
Yeah, their butts
fall off. Have you confirmed that it's psilocybin?
No.
Ian's like, I want to eat them now.
I'm looking into it.
No, it is some form of hallucinogenic fungus, oh, though, which is really interesting.
So wait a minute.
Next thing we know, like, he's in the backyard with a big jar.
I did like it.
Don't eat the bugs.
Cicada mushroom.
Cicada don't mushroom.
Smoke the bugs.
Or fungus.
Smoke a cicada. none of that.
Like, it might, if it's ergot, that'd be interesting. Are you guys familiar with ergot?
Yeah, that's what LSD comes from.
Yeah, they synthesized it out of ergotamine. LSD is synthesized out of ergotamine, which is a fungus that grows in rye.
Yeah.
And, like, they say the Salem witchcraft trials, they went insane because they were getting ergot poisoning and they didn't know. So they thought everybody was like, and all these things in the past have been attributed to it, like the dancing plague. Have you ever heard of that in Europe?
Mm. Yep.
All these people just started dancing, and it was during the plague, and they just came out of their houses, and for days they would dance. And
until they died.
Yeah.
Disco fever.
And then it started spreading.
Dude, could you imagine being like a woman during the Salem witch trials, and you're like churning butter, and then all of a sudden some guy walks up to you, and he's tripping balls, and he's like, witch! So then they beat you to death.
It's horrible.
Like, what did I do? That's just making butter.
I've heard that. Do you guys think that's why the Salem witch trials happened? I've heard that. They were like hallucinating in the area.
Yeah.
They were tripping.
They were eating like contaminated rye, basically.
Bread.
It was the ergot was growing on the rye.
Yeah.
So actually, let's put it in today's terms. Imagine you're chilling in your living room and you're like watching a show and Ian walks in tripping balls and he's like, witch. And then everyone runs in and starts beating you with like clubs and stuff.
It's promise.
I mean, really, the people who are culpable.
I would never do it.
You have my word.
Internet just keeps cutting it out.
I'm confirming this. A fungus is pushing cicada sex into hyperdrive.
Yep.
And leaving them dismembered. So you guys have read this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I guess their private parts fall off because they get moving too fast.
The fungus is called Massospora is the name of the fungus.
You got to research it for us. I'm really curious.
Capinone, an amphetamine. What was that?
Ugh.
All right, let me read. We got it from NPR. They say, after 17 years underground, the Brood X periodical cicadas are slowly emerging in 15 states. Yeah, we know. They'll shed their skins and spend 4 to 6 weeks mating before the female lay eggs, and then they all die. Mm. But some of them are getting wilder. A fungus called Massospora, which can produce compounds of cathinone and amphetamine, infects a small... So they're uppers, dude. Infects a small number of them and makes them lose control. It takes over their bodies, causing them to lose their lower abdomen and genitals, and it pushes their mating into hyperdrive, but they don't have junk. How are they going to do it? This is stranger than fiction, Matt Kasson, an associate professor of forest pathology and mycology at West Virginia University, tells NPR's All Things Considered. To have something that's being manipulated by a fungus to be hypersexual and to have prolonged stamina and just mate like crazy. Kasson, who's been studying Massospora for about 5 years, says just before the cicadas rise from the ground, the spores of the fungus start to infect the bug. Once it's above ground and starts to shed its skin, become an adult, his butt falls off. Then a white plug of fungus grows in its place. Oh, nasty.
Oh,
that's no fun.
It looks like the backside of cicada is being replaced either by chalk or by like one of the nubby middle school erasers. The insects have no idea what's happening. The fungus, however, is pulling the strings and making cicadas want to mate with everyone. Males that are infected will continue to mate with females, but they'll also pretend to be females so they can spread the fungus to males. What?
It's turning the bugs gay.
It's a bug STD.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
This fungus is turning the freaking cicadas gay.
I don't like them putting fungus in the cicadas.
Dude, how come this stuff doesn't happen to people?
I'm not that upset about it.
I think it does, but it's...
I don't have FOMO about that.
It's more subtle with people. Like, our bacteria, our gut biome is kind of pulling the strings of our behavior. You know, eat food and then you get cravings. That's like mind control. But you see it real blatant in some animals, like where the fungus infects the brain of the worm and then it like, or the bug, and then the bug starts going crazy, like zombie bug.
You guys want to hear something real gross?
Yeah. Dude.
So, we got cicadas all over the place. You know what I mean? And I've been telling the story about like, I catch them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the easiest way for me has been to get cicadas for the chickens.
Oh no.
I just walk to the parking lot and pick them up. You know why? Cause the parking lot it's blacktop. Mm-hmm. We got it sealed. And so in the middle of the day when the sun hits it, and the ground is so hot you can't walk on it.
Oh.
The cicadas will land and then just burn to death.
Oh, nice.
They'll just die. Good and so I walk up and they're just like freaking out and I just pick them up and throw them in the chicken thing and the chickens eat a warm meal. But today I came out, because I can't get them all, some have melted to the pavement.
Oh,
no.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, those poor cicadas, dude.
Brutal. Yikes. Nature is mad. Well, is it nature? I mean, we're the ones who put the blacks out there.
But I mean, we come from nature too, you know? Like, we have a nature.
That's true.
Maybe blacktop is inhumane. In general.
You know what's worse? But I don't know. Animals do horrible stuff to other animals. I remember when we had the 17-year cicadas back where I grew up.
they would be coming out of their shells. This is also super gross, but it's not related to blacktop, so we don't have to feel guilty about it. As they come out of their shells and they shed their skin, they're like temporarily paralyzed, and ants would just like eat them alive from the inside while they were we would find them like hollowed out near ants' nests with just like a hole in their face.
Dude, nice.
Pretty awful.
So, like, this New York Post story, get ready for sex-crazed zombie cicadas known as flying salt checkers of death. The crazy thing about it is their butts, like, they fall off, and then the fungus grows out of it. Could you imagine, like, if human beings, like, got infected and their butts fell off?
I couldn't. I don't want to.
And then hold on. Just hear me out. A bunch of dudes, their butts fall off and is replaced by weird, spongy fungal spores. And then they just become like zombie crazed and start pretending to be women, like trying to spread the fungus.
Maybe
like, that's what the cicadas are doing.
Maybe it has happened in the past and there was a war and they had to kill fungus butts. Like they had to, they're like, hey, fungus butt.
Bro, the last of us. My hold species. On, hold on. The last of us is. Three. Yeah. So you know there's like The Last of Us where it's like the mushrooms take over them?
No, I haven't seen it.
They got to do this. They got to make it. It's like a movie. Fungus butt.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hey. The zombies are like people like, "Ah, I want to do it." And they're like their butts are fungus spores and yeah.
No, fungus butt. No.
So on the unemployment benefits.
Can don't we eat cicadas.
Yeah.
Dude, how many people do you think ate one of these infected cicadas?
Oh, man.
Man. I don't know. Is this no.
I will not
people
eat
are eating bats. They're eating cicadas. How many pandemics are we going to have people eating strange things?
Dude, what if like it does spread to humans because somebody saw the news about eating cicadas? Like that would actually be a crazy like video game premise. It's like post-apocalyptic and people are all like fungus butt zombies and it's like in the year 2021 the media told everyone to eat cicadas out of the ground, but they were infected and the fungus spread to humans.
How many people do you think actually ate cicadas out of the
ground? There's a restaurant nearby that does it.
What?
Yeah.
That's delicious.
Cicada tacos.
Good.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do they farm them?
The guy walks outside to his backyard and pulls them off the buildings. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine, like, I'd like to go get food, and the guy's like, oh, just a minute.
Yeah,
lifts a stone off the ground and pulls grubs and garbage out of the ground and just chucks it in a pan.
Dude, this.
And he's like, just coming right up. I'd be like, nah, I'm good, dude. If I wanted to eat the bugs off the ground, I'd just do it myself.
Bro, this is what the Lion King was trying to program us towards. Eating the bugs. The entire reason Disney released that propaganda film, trying to make us like Timon and Pumbaa.
Yeah, because they were telling Simba to eat the bugs.
Eat the bugs.
Yeah, because Simba was supposed to eat them.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, hold on, have you thought about bugs?
I mean, that's
you
know, literally it. Try this. And they're like, oh, it's so good. And he's like, okay, and he eats bugs.
They were sincere, though. They actually ate bugs before that. They were bug eaters. You could tell they enjoyed it too much when they introduced Simba to the concept of eating bugs.
But yes, a hog and a meerkat, they eat bugs. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying they weren't being insincere. They were like, yeah, Simba, like you really should eat this. We enjoy it.
They weren't being insincere.
Yeah, you know, they actually enjoyed it. This wasn't like a long con.
Are you ready for the post-apocalyptic dollar collapse, market crash, zombie butt, eat the bugs future?
I don't know that ready is ever a word I could use to describe my state with respect to that, but I'm preparing.
Well, how are you preparing?
I've got some emergency food. I've got some weapons. I've got some fungal spray. I'm not sure what else.
Fungal spray. I'm coming to your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, okay. So let's talk, Seamus.
Yes.
You know, so we've got a wonderful compound here.
Yeah.
Everybody has their very important task. What would what labor, what specialty could you fill here at the?
I know what you're asking. Impressions. A. Impressions.
Impressions.
Very good. B, I could get people to think and question authority and question the command hierarchy that you set up, which is good, which is a net benefit, I think, which is great. This is why you want me around.
That would be like a funny skit, like it's a post-apocalyptic, you know, commune, like a literal commune after the apocalypse, and Antifa shows up.
And they're like, this is horrible.
We'd like to come in and like, excellent. What could you contribute to the commune?
It's
like,
that's awesome.
We can smash your buildings and make everyone question the social order of the delicate fabric of your society, in a post-apocalyptic scenario. Intriguing. And what will the benefit of this be? No benefit. We'll just destroy your way of life.
Like, we'll end racism. That's communism. Racism.
Yeah, we'll end the racism of you
and your
commune.
Yeah.
I think it'd be funny because like they would contribute literally nothing.
Literally nothing. We saw that with Chop. Remember that garden?
Chop.
I'm sorry. Chaz. Chop. I don't know.
No-go zone.
I don't know what the preferred term is, but yeah.
No-go zone.
Yeah. The no-go zone where they had the little garden thing that they set up.
Yeah, the LARP garden.
On top of cardboard.
They see they're breaking down George Squirt George Floyd.
Oh, yeah,
memorial.
We'll pull that up. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
The chop.
Wait, what happened?
They're pulling down that memorial, George Floyd Memorial, where there's like 12 city blocks where they like blocked off from the road.
No. It's okay, here we go.
Is this bunk?
It's not bunk. It's just you're late to the party.
Yeah.
So CBS 4 Minnesota says George Floyd Square intersection briefly reopened before community pushback. You know, man, are we still on the air? Okay, I'm not going to swear. I was going to swear if it was disconnected.
Well, I'm glad we're not disconnected.
The media is such trash. Community pushback.
What's that mean?
The community has been begging for the police to come in and stop the rampant gunfire and like killings in the no-go zone in Minneapolis. The community pushback. I love how they call it George Floyd Square. Is that it? Like, okay. So in memory of George Floyd, you have a bunch of people shooting each other and shooting at buildings and stealing cars, and there's like reporters hitting the deck. Wonderful. That's a great memorial. So as they did reopen. It was big news. Everyone's like, oh, the no-go zone's being shut down. The cops are moving in. And like an hour later, Antifa came and just put it all back.
Oh. And then they would come back again to take it down again?
No, that's it. They gave up.
Oh.
Yeah, the police are you know, incapable of doing anything.
Dang.
Well, they can arrest you, you know, for at a moment's notice based on government edict.
Yeah.
But not Antifa based on the actual law.
Yeah.
So I have a question about this. You know, let me ask you a question. So, Seamus,
yes.
What would you call it if a group of people of an ideology, they believe your nation's history is fake, and they begin imposing their ideology over this people? They fly a different flag. Yeah. They burn the flag of the one nation.
Okay,
they start seizing territory in certain cities where people are literally shot and killed.
I like it.
And they get the law enforcement to operate based on their whims and edict instead of the actual law. Those that literally break hard law are exempt from it. And those who violate edict get arrested and put in jail. Meanwhile, prisoners are being released. And then they fly their flag at your embassy. Like, what would you call that?
Mostly peaceful.
Mostly peaceful?
Mostly peaceful. Yeah, I think that's probably a solid situation.
You add all those things
together. I
don't
think there's anything that wrong with that. Tim, they're protesting a bad thing, so anything they do is okay. And if you criticize any of that, you're just okay with the bad thing that they're protesting.
No, but let's go through this. Let's literally go through each point first. Antifa openly breaks the law, and the DAs release them.
Mm-hmm.
Actual statutory law that is codified.
Yep.
Conservatives... And you know, not necessarily even conservative small business owners, violate edict from governors that is not codified, and they get arrested by police and fined.
Yep.
Okay. Antifa begins seizing different jurisdictions of different cities with weapons and even killing people on numerous occasions. These people say that the history of this nation is incorrect. Everyone of this nation is evil, and they burn and desecrate the flag of this nation, and then... they fly their own flag with Marxist symbols at the embassies of this nation. That doesn't. It sounds like
insurrection,
like occupation,
like insurrection, like
a group of people telling you your history is wrong and burning your flag, like and flying their flag at your embassy.
If it was the Chinese government, I don't want to like make the Chinese bad guys, you know, whatever. But if it was like a foreign powers government that was doing this to our country, that's. That would be like an occupation and creating like a puppet state out of our government.
Yep.
If they can decide who is or isn't guilty of the crimes, but it was like the Chinese government or the foreign government was deciding, that's...
In West Virginia, there's a huge controversy happening because at the schools, the people who are who got elected are woke and they're introducing critical race theory. But the people of West Virginia are all like seriously not woke.
Unbelievable.
So I
thought I was going to come spend some time out here, but I can't.
But it's crazy when you think about it, because you have the police enforcing things that are not laws.
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, they started releasing prisoners and they started putting, they arrested that salon owner. And it was crazy. It was like you're putting a salon owner in jail and releasing criminals. She didn't break any law. She violated an edict. The governor, you know, they're like, we hereby decree, and she gets arrested. She gets arrested and locked up. You look at the barber in Michigan, broke no law, violated the decree of a governor.
Yeah.
Dude, when a group of people come to you and say your history is fake and they demand you revise your history and they go into your schools and start telling your kids that their history is wrong and that the people who run this country are evil, the founding fathers are evil, the country is an evil nation that must be, you know, broken up or broken apart. They burn the flag. The police help them. I'm like, that's it. Like, America, what is it? Is it still a thing at this point? When the history of this country has been erased, does the country still exist? Is there an America if the history of America is gone?
It's an interesting question. I mean, we talked about this before, but the cities are definitely gone. I would say go out to the country, get away from them. You've been saying that a lot, too. I think it's possible that this country could just end up fracturing. I see secession being a possibility. That sounds kind of insane. I think if you said that 5 years ago, people would look at you funny. And I'm not saying it's a certainty, but it certainly seems possible at this point. And I think maybe that could be the only peaceful solution. Maybe divorce. Again, I'm also mostly peaceful. I'm also more or less thinking out loud here. I'm not making hard and fast predictions, but I think you could still have a country. I think it's just that these cities end up falling to these far less activists. Or what happens is after some time, people realize how horrible things have gotten in the areas where these activists have basically been put in charge by the political authorities, and they react against it.
I just see a group of people who burn the American flag, and now they're flying their flag at our embassies.
For sure. I guess my point is, I think there's going to be a massive backlash against it.
I don't.
No?
No, I think conservatives are particularly ineffective.
Yes, so I agree that conservatives are, but I think a lot of the people who buy into this stuff right now are starting to see it fall apart. And the more power we give them, the more they're going to be exposed as completely incompetent and even evil to their followers.
It's tribalism.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's tribalism, but like at some point, you know, when you're not getting fed, you kind of stop believing in whatever it is the people who are in charge of you are telling you the narrative is.
Except one faction is saying, we'll give you everything for free, and it's those evil, evil people keeping it from you.
Mm-hmm.
So when things break down, they're going to look at two factions, the Republicans being like, work hard. And then they're going to look at the Democrats being like, we'll give you whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And where are they going to flock to?
I guess it depends on how things actually become divided in terms of the actual authority. If you look at these left-wing cities where people are protesting and they're getting away with doing whatever they want, and they're essentially in charge to some extent, like you've said, they basically can run wild and do as they please. I think it's going to become obvious even to people in these movements that, yes, they and their leadership are in charge, or they do have special privileges, they're in control of the situation, and when there's a failure, it's pretty much their fault. I think it's going to become more and more difficult to scapegoat the Republicans who are out in the country when your city is falling apart and it has totally Democratic leadership.
The progressive in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia got reelected in a landslide.
Oh, man,
30
yeah.
points.
Yeah, I'm not saying it happens today or tomorrow, but I'm saying I think in the long run, corrupt hierarchies fall apart.
Maybe, you know, but after everything we saw last year, people went out in droves desperate to vote for Democrats.
Yeah.
Like Ted Wheeler gets reelected.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone hated him. Even the left hated him. And he still gets reelected. And then you look at Minnesota and you look what they did with the Chauvin trial. I mean, dude, I have zero faith that this country, like, I look at everything that's happening and I'm like, the people who are ignoring it, they're going to wake up one day and not realize what happened or how it happened. Because when you're watching it happen in real time, you can, it's just crazy. But it's really funny. When I talk to somebody who doesn't pay attention to the news,
mm-hmm.
and they still think it's 2019. They're like, man, last year was crazy, huh? And then I'll be like, what about it was crazy? And they'll be like, you know, just the pandemic and the lockdown. And you can ask them anything about the stimulus, the inflation, the shortages, the pipeline attacks. You can talk to them about China and Taiwan. Also, they'll be like, what? It's really crazy when I look someone in the eyes and I'm like, yeah, so what did you think about, like, you know, they're flying BLM flags at our embassies? And they go, what? Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, it's
that's insane.
How? Because imagine if right now you hear this stuff and then you turn the news off. And the next time I see you, I'll be like, so did you report to your gulag for reassignment, for re-education?
For gender reassignment?
They'd be like, what are you talking about? It's like, oh yeah, re-education starts tomorrow. And they'd be like, what? That's not real. How can that be real? And it's been this way throughout the culture war. When I talk to people who don't follow news, I'll say something and they'll just be like, that's not true. How is that possible?
Yeah.
Because it's happening faster and faster and faster. So we're at this point now where let's talk about, the state of this country. A year of riots and explosions and vandalism and chaos in the Pacific Northwest. The no-go zones being set up where people are taking them over with guns and killing people, literally killing them in the George Floyd no-go zone, yeah. in the Capitol Hill no-go zone, people literally being shot and killed in Portland, Aaron Danielson getting shot in the chest. Then you look at the trial of Chauvin. And what happens? Not only does he get charged by the state, the feds come in after the fact, and the feds had a secret plan to arrest him should he have been acquitted. And now they're charging him again with civil rights violations and the three other cops. When he was being tried, the jury had to be escorted in with armed security because the city was under a riot. So you know that's not a fair trial.
100%.
Like I said, the embassy is flying the flags of this ideology. Joe Biden reversing a ton of Trump policies on banning the ideology. It really does feel like if you took someone from 2 years ago and brought them to today, they would not believe a word you would say about the current state of the country.
Oh,
and
no.
Believe it or not, many people still don't think Antifa exists.
Well, you know, and this is the thing. So when people were talking about the far left for the past several years, we were more or less scoffed at as not serious because this is just a bunch of young, dumb college students and teenager, young adult activists. No one actually cares. They don't have any actual power. And look at where they are now.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yep, the 16-year-olds exactly. Are 19-year-olds now.
Yeah.
And the 18-year-olds are, you know, in their 20s. And people
difference.
In their 20s are now entering their... So it's funny, 10 years ago, you know, when we started getting the culture war stuff, Gamergate, I think, was what, like 2013, 2014?
That was 2014, yeah.
2014. So now it's been 7 years.
It's crazy.
So somebody who was 15 during that is now 22. Mm-hmm. They're now taking jobs at industry. Mm-hmm. Somebody who was 20 during that and working for the woke is now 27 and a manager at a news outlet. Some like senior editor, and they're writing stories in favor of that ideology. And this is why I was telling people years ago, there's civil war. Like the collapse is going to get crazy. When you see people fleeing blue states to red states to get away from this, and people in red states who are urban centers who are more blue fleeing to blue states, and the polarization is sharpening between physical boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like what's the result of this? Joe Biden's flopping around like a lunatic. The border crisis is worse than it's ever been. Kamala Harris laughs at the prospect. And what happens come 2024? Does Donald Trump run again and get reelected? Is there the backlash that you describe where people are like, I can't handle this anymore? So they vote for Donald Trump, and then this causes an equal and opposite reaction on the left where they go nuts and start destroying things?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's possible. When I'm speaking about a reaction, in part I was sort of talking about like a hypothetical scenario where the nation actually does collapse. In terms of Trump being reelected in 2024, I mean, I think there's certainly a possibility of that happening. I think there could be backlash. I think it'll become really obvious by that point that this is a complete farce. Everything the left has said they want is pretty much just them paying lip service to a specific set of values that seemed popular so that they can get power and basically tear down the institutions that they harbor resentment towards for whatever reason. But
they're doing it unopposed, man.
I think that... It's possible. On the other hand, I don't know. I think the entire dominant media culture is on their side, and that's no small thing. Many Americans don't trust the media anymore, but some still do, and also these people are in control of the social media outlets as well, and so they determine what's true and false, and the fact checkers will say X, Y, and Z if it fits their agenda, and so it's hard for me to say. I can't say right now that there will absolutely be this backlash by 2024 and that Donald Trump will be reelected. But I do think that it's a distinct possibility. There are a lot of factors here, and it's too complicated to make one prediction. I want to sort of see how things go, especially because, look, if you had asked me 1 year or less than 1 year into Trump's presidency what I thought the end of his first term would look like, none of my predictions would have come remotely close to what ended up happening. And so right now we're less than a year into Biden's presidency, and I'm kind of sitting here trying to make a prediction on whether Trump could be reelected by 2024 if things will get bad enough. I mean, I really can't. We just have to expect the unexpected at this point and pray. I mean, that's my only advice.
I don't know if he'll get reelected. I mean, it might be a Buchanan situation. You know, Joe Biden flounders and then Trump gets reelected and then the Civil War or whatever. But I will say that the left has been completely unopposed. Mm-hmm. I think it was Jesse Kelly. Maybe it was Jesse Kelly. Somebody said that the left won the culture war because they were the only ones fighting it.
There's truth in that. And like Michael Malice says, I know he gets a shout out every other episode here, but the difference between the left and the right is the left is serious.
Yep. That's it. You got a bunch of zealots who will do anything. They say by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Violent psychopaths burning down buildings, smashing things. And you get the Republican Party like, don't you do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I was mentioning the other day is that Nancy Pelosi comes out and screams January 6th, and what do the Republicans come back and say? January 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of coming out and saying Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
That's they don't do it.
You guys endorsed this times 20 all summer long, more than times 20. People were rioting and literally burning down this country for months straight, and we were told that that was mostly peaceful and it was A-okay.
The Republican Party is subservient to the Democratic Party, period. Mm-hmm. Hands down, 100%, all of them. Every single one. Even Rand.
With a few exceptions. Oh, you really? No. You're going to Rand Paul.
Rand Paul made the Breonna Taylor bill.
Yeah.
Rand Paul entered the fray under their terms. Now, I respect the guy.
Yeah, but also, too, that's Rand Paul coming at it not from a Republican perspective, but a libertarian perspective and being in favor of police reform. I don't think he did that because the left wanted
it. Why is there no David Dorn bill?
Mm-hmm.
Why is there no one standing up and demanding a national holiday or making us think about it? And I know, Ian, you mentioned the media, but that's not relevant. Mm-hmm. When even Rand Paul comes out and says, you're framing your rules, here's my proposition, they are subservient to the Democrats, period.
Yeah, I was saying that the media tempers the flame. It basically heats up the metal to get the iron hot so that you can, as a politician, strike it and be like, I want to make a bill about this topic because the media has made it such a hot, ready to be molded topic, and that the David Dorn thing, there wasn't enough public knowledge about the guy.
Trump had the opportunity to do so much. He never did.
I know.
Even though Trump was a fighter, he still would give the interviews to these organizations acting as though they were neutral arbiters of anything. They weren't. It's all for the political agenda. So even during all of this, you can force the press to cover stories. Okay. And Republicans never do. They always bow down to the narrative from the left. Why so that's it.
Is it just because they don't have the contacts in the media organizations or the organizations?
Because they're not serious.
Because they're just old.
They're not all of them are old. Some of them are young.
Collecting a paycheck. You're right. Not all of them.
They're just not serious.
Not smart
enough.
Look,
I mean, you get Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she pushes back much in the way that many of the Democrats do, like the squad especially. And they hate her for it. There you go. You got a fighter there. Lauren Boebert pushes back. Still, though, almost, I would say maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene is the only one who's not playing into their narrative and is actually pushing back and saying, you know, I counter this. But almost all the Republicans just say whatever it is the Democrats' narrative is, they argue on their terms. There you go.
The Uniparty?
No. It's the neocons joined the Democrats a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Bill Kristol, basically, it was during Obama's reign that they went over and got on his drone bomb.
Sure. And the remaining Republicans are just like, there's no leadership.
Not in our government, not really.
No, the Democrats have leaders. Tons of them.
Maybe they
do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, how do you define a leader?
They take action, they command, they demand,
it's like
and
AOC,
people follow.
AOC?
Yeah. AOC can come out and say whatever she wants and it becomes major news.
Right.
She becomes the story.
Right.
Ted Cruz goes on vacation and then runs back cowering like, I'm so sorry. I was just flying my daughter. I'm so sorry.
I don't think, regarding what we were talking about earlier, about is there a way, like, is there a way out of this? I think that...
I don't see it.
That people could refocus the problem onto the banking industry and realize that they're printing us into madness.
I mean, maybe the AMC GameStop stuff.
Stuff like that.
Institutional, using legal channels to cause problems for major institutions,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not illegal to do it. It's like people just liked the stock, and so it happened. But I look at a lot of the strategies and the tactics and the temperament of people on the right, and it's like, look at January 6th, you know? You get a lot of people who are 100% adamant it was the right thing, and they're defending it. After it happened, they were like, they were defending it and saying a bunch of stuff about it, and you get a bunch of people on the right saying it was wrong. Clearly, it was wrong because the right doesn't have the same they don't have the same ability to engage in that kind of tactic the left does. The left gets away with it because they control cultural institutions. So, in the event that these people still did something, there's first of all they shouldn't have. There's a bunch of other things that should have been done in response to it. The left plays the same game. When Antifa burns down a building, Democrats don't say anything. They never talk about it, ever. They fundraise to bail them out, and they shut up. What happens with January 6th? The Republicans all say, oh, it was bad. Oh, we're so sorry. And then you get some Republicans who are clearly Democrats saying, like, my colleagues won't even say the right thing. And then even the ones who are saying it's political and to ignore it are still bringing it up and making it the center focus.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're walking right in. It's like they're fighting an alligator underwater, man.
I know. It's I think maybe not talking about politics is one thing, but like trying to trying to fix the system by using that is fighting the alligator underwater. Like trying to use the political establishment to fix the political establishment is just not the place to do it. The
there's
media,
no tact. There's no tact. There's no strategy.
No, we need
it's random, self-centered, and there's no leadership
in the government.
No. In the anti-establishment faction.
Yeah, I don't like cult worship in general. I don't think a guy or a girl can like come out and be like, I can do it. Like Elon Musk kind of, but then, you know, his whole Bitcoin debacle screwed a bunch of people
up. He's out for himself.
Right. And you can only ever be out for yourself first, and you should be out for yourself first.
The left is out for a collective victory, and everyone else are out for themselves.
They're all out for themselves too. They do it in the guise of a collective.
No, but it all serves the collective.
I guess.
As long as their cult ideology expands, they benefit from it. On the right, though, there's conflict between even people who are anti-establishment.
Yeah, absolutely.
The left does fire on each other as well. The circular firing squad, for sure.
I think there should be conflict between. We should all have healthy conflict. You never want to subserve to another human, really. I don't think even in a marriage, you know, you want there to be healthy conflict and communication, not necessarily confrontation at the very least, if not conflict. But so we need a system that allows for that. Obviously, I don't think a human's going to come and be like, I will follow me, everyone, like the Captain America. But we'll build a system, I think, that will help facilitate a solution. That's my goal anyway.
Here's the thing. I think it's important to have leaders. But at the same time, part of why the left is winning is because really being committed to their principles doesn't require a lot of look at what they're doing. And they're being violent and psychopathic. That doesn't exactly require a high degree of virtue or thought. I mean, what the right is talking about, and what the right needs to really do to get people on board and have any kind of victory, is encourage people to live their lives in strong and virtuous ways and oppose immorality everywhere they see it. That's difficult. Yes. That's a lot harder to get people to do than to throw Molotov cocktails at buildings or scream down people who disagree with you politically.
And it's also vague. Like, how do you tell someone how to live morally? Like, that's a challenging, like Jordan Peterson does 8-hour, mm-hmm. Lectures just about that, about one way that you can live more just.
100%, but I'd also say, and this is part of what being conservative is recognizing the age-old wisdom, just saying, like, these are the virtues. People need to live these out as best they can. That's what we have to encourage our followers to do. I've said this before, but conservatism has very much become this very loose affiliation of people who have kind of vaguely similar ideas about the economy, and oftentimes it falls back on this philosophy of just like, leave me alone and let me do whatever I want.
But which is actually more classically liberal.
Exactly. Exactly. We need something much more robust. And this is why I've always said we need something much more robust. Or I've said more recently, more robust and rooted in Catholicism. And what I'm saying there too is something really, really well rooted in virtues and people living their lives in an upright fashion. And I don't think that's too vague if you're referencing the virtues specifically.
Like the reason I refer to it as vague is because when you're like Antifa's like, we're gonna throw a brick, that's like a call to action, this up and do it and then it's done. But like if you're like, live humbly, be humble, like that's a vague command, so how do you implement the virtues?
That's fair. Well, and I think too, a lot of what they talk about is tearing the system down. And they deconstruct everything philosophically. They don't necessarily have to put anything forward in terms of what should replace the system once it's been removed. So they're not in the business of building things, whereas we're supposed to be. So again, that's an edge that they have.
They're destroying things.
Exactly.
And
that's the point. That's their goal.
I guess a good way to exude virtue is to make internet video and show people.
Make cartoons!
Do it yourself. Become it yourself and then allow people to witness.
Interesting.
Yeah, mockery is good. But it seems to be, I guess, not as effective. It's been 10 years. Who'd have thought that when you saw, Gamergate, that these cultists would have reached the highest levels of government, the presidential office?
I never would have.
And it happened.
6 years.
It really
happened. So weird.
Honestly,
it doesn't surprise me at all.
So the right or the anti-establishment, whatever you want to call it, has lost every step of the way.
Politically, absolutely, yeah.
Some victories here and there, some victories in certain areas, but Trump was only holding back the tidal floods,
Actually, Tim, what happened was we won so much we got tired of winning, so we decided to start losing all the time.
Who wants
so
to boring. Play with someone that can't lose?
Donald Trump won, and a lot of people felt that was it. Mm-hmm. And the good example of that is 2018. People voted for Trump. because they don't care for the Republicans or the Democrats, many of these people. Mm-hmm. Trump wins, but he won like with only 88,000 votes across three states, which gave him a good electoral college victory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come 2018, those people didn't come out and vote. Mm. So the data suggests that the people said, I voted for Trump, I'm done. Mm-hmm. That was it. And then the Democrats got the House back, and they used it to burn everything to the ground.
100%.
So, and this is very easily evidenced by the victories of the Republicans in 2020. So the polls were all off. It was funny looking at the New York Times where it was like, these are lean blue and they were solid red. And these were solid blue and some of them flipped red. Like even an urban center in Florida turned red. Because what happened was you had a bunch of Democrats say, we're not going to culture war. You vote for us, we're going to get you health care.
Yes.
And everyone said, thank you.
Yes.
The first thing these scumbags did.
Exactly.
Vote for impeachment. Mm-hmm. Nancy Pelosi came over and they dropped their knees and they licked her feet. Mm-hmm. And then they went and voted for whatever she told them to vote for. Mm-hmm. And then many of them lost the re-election because people were like, I don't care for you. You did not get us what we wanted. But still, it shows you that these Democrats promise all these things and then deliver nothing.
Well, and this is part of why I think, again, even though I will not make hard and fast predictions here, there is some hope for a backlash, because I think when people vote Democrats, it's most often because they believe they will provide them things like inexpensive health care or worker benefits. They'll strengthen the unions. Now, I'm not saying that Democrats actually deliver on these things or that the strategy Democrats would take for improving people's quality of life are in any way effective, but this is what people seem to want from Democrats. I don't think people really want the woke ideology. And so when they see the Democrats bending the knee to these organizations like Black Lives Matter and Antifa and going off the deep end with all the woke stuff, they're more likely to say, well, you guys aren't doing the things that we actually elected you to do. You're just pandering to the far left. So we're going to vote for Republicans now.
I don't know if that actually solves anything when Republicans don't actually fight.
No, and there's truth in that, too. There's a lot of truth in that.
So then it's just a gradual decay.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
Slow collapse.
Well, that's what happens to societies. Nothing lasts forever. I'm not saying it's a good thing or that we should just roll over and accept it. Again, I think everyone should do their part, but I believe doing your part has a whole lot more to do with living a good life as an individual than actually trying to change the system.
But they're taking the system over and using it to arrest and and detain people.
Yeah, 100%.
So if 100%. You just sit back and do your thing, how long until they come to your house and they arrest you?
They come to your house and arrest you either way, if it gets that bad. The point is you just have to be the best possible person you can become. And if that happens, and if enough of the population actually cultivates virtue, then they could prevent that kind of a disaster. People could actually rise up. But I know that people not working on themselves and not trying to become better human beings only ends in disaster for everybody.
This last month, I've been so focused on being a better person and listening. And it's amazing how fast you can change. Mm-hmm. If you really... I mean, you got to have self-awareness, but...
Yeah, I mean, we all have things we need to work on. I definitely have a lot I want to work on. But when you think about the fact that it really only takes 30 days to build a new habit, I mean, that's incredible. Anyone can change their life. There could be something that you've been doing every day for 20 years, and you just take a month to do the opposite. It's really difficult, but you'll end up building a completely new habit. It's amazing.
Sound like Jordan Peterson.
It's like, man, it's like you can build new habits. All you have to do is get your life in order.
I mean, that's something.
clean your room.
That's something my parents would tell me as a kid. Yeah, it takes 30 days to build a habit. And I'd be like, whatever. You know, as a kid, you're like, 30 days, that's so much time. Now it's like, man, a month just flies by and I could be a significantly improved person by the end of a month if I decide at the beginning of the month that that's what I want for myself. I think most months, I, like most other people, don't make that decision, and I should.
So, like, if you're changing a habit, you just, when you notice yourself doing it, you acknowledge that you're doing it?
What do you mean by that? Like, in terms of how you cultivate a habit?
Yeah.
I think, so give me an example of something a person might want to change.
Oh, like, I don't know, drinking coffee in the morning.
Yeah, so something they would want to stop doing.
Yeah.
You can't just stop drinking coffee, though.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think usually they say the best way of stopping yourself from doing something is to replace it with something else. So for 30 days, you would just say drink tea every morning instead of coffee. And then by the end of that month, tea would become
your
new habit.
Now you're addicted to tea, which
exactly.
In some instances has more caffeine than the coffee.
It can have more caffeine, but it doesn't have to be tea. It can be something else. You can just be like, I have water every morning. It can be something that doesn't even seem to have that much of an effect. But knowing that you have replaced one thing with another thing actually builds the habit of doing the second thing.
You know, you do it's easy. It's like when you're pouring your coffee, just pour 1 ounce less.
Every single day, just a tiny bit
less. No, for 1 week, you pour 1 ounce less. Mm. The next week, you do 1 ounce less. And then eventually, you're having like a small, you know, shot.
That takes a lot of discipline, too, though, because what's to stop you at one point from being like, you know what, today's my cheat day, and I'm just going to pour
That's fine, though.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people do a cheat day, and then it just becomes a whole thing.
Yep.
They just fall back.
I hear it a lot from people who are like, I'm doing keto. I can't eat a bowl of macaroni and cheese. But I'll make an exception for the bowl of macaroni and cheese. And I'm like, okay, you're not doing
keto. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some things you can just go cold turkey. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on what your schedule's like. If you've got a heavy workload, getting off coffee's hard. Getting off, you know, stopping smoking cigarettes, those are difficult things because of the addictions and the physiological dependence. But some things are like working out make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yeah, so go for a walk in the morning.
You can actually take up smoking, too, if you
You know what? I don't smoke. I want to.
I wanted to start. I was like, I feel like I like myself more as a person. No, I used to smoke a bit. I know.
Reminds me of, you know, those old noir film. You know what I mean? So it's like, now I feel cool.
I just want to wear a trench coat with the collar popped and just say, like, things about the city that I live in and how horrible it is.
Have you guys ever smoked?
No one sees the underbelly of this place.
Salvia? Have you guys ever smoked salvia?
No.
Are you familiar with it? I've not smoked.
I don't advocate.
It's a type of sage. They call it salvia. Salvia means sage. That's what the word is.
Bad.
Well,
isn't that what people were doing? And they would get like crazy high for like 60 seconds and lose their minds and like come back.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's totally nuts. Like twists. Yeah, yeah. But what they would do is they'd go into like a steam tent, and then they'd put a bunch of it in like in heat, and then it would vaporize it, and they'd breathe in the vapor. Oh, smoking, picking up a new habit.
No.
Andreas
is telling about
this stuff. Make people go crazy.
Yeah,
you can pick up like a crack habit in less than 30. Oh. That's the thing.
No, none of that.
So, how do you build a new habit of something you want to learn how to do? Like, I don't know, listen, increase your listening skills.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think I'm no like expert or self-help guru here, but I would just say that you have to start by just doing that thing every day for 30 days, and you have to schedule it at a specific time so that it works its way into your schedule. And then eventually it just becomes a normal thing to you that doesn't require as much effort to get started with. And that's when it becomes a habit.
Yeah. For me, you know, when I started making videos every day at a certain time,
it was like a
personal obligation.
Yes.
Like I would feel a kind of anguish if I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I decided like I got to do this thing
at that time.
And every day at 4 p.m. I have to have a video out. And so like the nightmares that I've had, few and far between, is like I'll have a nightmare where it's like I'm looking at my phone and I'm like, oh no, I didn't schedule my video properly. And I'm like, I'm breaking a promise to myself.
That's awesome.
And so I'm like, there's, you know, it's a promise to myself and to a lot of people who watch and believe in the content. It's like, I can't, I have to do it. It has to get done. No matter what, no excuses.
100%, yeah. I mean, we do a video every single Thursday. For a time we went, and for animation, that's pretty uncommon. We went, I think, like 2.5 years without missing a single upload at one point. It's very rare that we missed one, but that's what it was. It was just an obligation to myself saying, like, I have to get this done. And the way it started was I took some time away from uploading and just tried to work on a bunch of videos at once. And I was still in college at the time. And so I was in school while I was trying to keep up with this once a week schedule. And I was keeping up with it. And then eventually at some point, I just like ran out of extra videos. And then I had to actually create a new video from scratch each week. And when the team was smaller, at one point, it was basically just me doing basically everything that entire week. But I would just force myself to because I couldn't let myself not upload that week. And now we have this really consistent schedule. Sometimes we do twice a week. We're trying to get twice a week done more often. There are periods of time where we'll do three.
You've been doing it long enough now, so where, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Seamus doesn't actually do any of the voices anymore.
No.
It's all Korean voice actors.
It's all Tim.
And Korean animators.
Yeah. Korean animators. It's actually Tim. Tim does all of it. Tim
I'm the Korean. I'm the one who does it. Yeah, I just work 30 hours a day, every day.
Every day. Doing the Korean tunes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do an impersonation of Seamus doing an impersonation of Jordan Peterson.
That's why it's so good.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Tim's very talented.
I want
to
get
that's
Seamus
why you should buy one of these t-shirts to support him.
See, this is when the internet cuts
freedomtunesmerch.com. freedomtunesmerch.com.
Someone at YouTube was like, I don't like Freedom Tunes. Like, XXX.
That's the story of my life, buddy.
I don't like you.
I'm a big fan of Winston Churchill. Thinking
really?
About yeah, just
he was
about,
a racist.
Was he really?
Yes.
Well, what I liked about him was his optimism. He was obviously the leader of the British during World War II and before, but during World War II, they put him in charge because he had been a military commander in the First World War.
Neville Chamberlain was the leader.
He was, yeah, until he gave Hitler a bunch of land. But even when London was being bombed and it looked like the Nazis were about to take over the entire world, like it was basically, it looked like doomsday. And he just stayed positive. He kept telling people, we're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. It's going to work. We're going to win. And he didn't know that. But his inspiration, his confidence, even if he had to fake it, worked. It got people, it kept people excited, it gave people hope. So I'm trying to go that route in regards to what the heck is going on with society right now. I know that we can fix things. You know, we can decentralize and the workload. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that we will. Evolution is a form of necessity.
Or in 20 years, the whole planet is woke. And it'll be a woke...
I sure hope so, too.
Dystopia. But you won't be allowed to express those opinions.
Woke-topia? Is it?
Yeah, so everything will be ultra-woke, and you won't be able to express your opinions, and everyone will walk around with a fake smile on their face. You ever see that episode of Doctor Who, where they go to that planet where it's like a colony, and there's a bunch of robots with smiley faces, like big screens and smiley faces? And they don't realize what's happening, and then they have to wear badges that have smiley faces on them. And what it is, if they get sad, then the symbol on the thing like changes or whatever to a sad face. And the story was that the robots were tasked with keeping everybody happy. Someone died. Everybody got sad. And the robots didn't know why they were sad or how to stop it.
Oh, no.
Because it was death. So that eventually they realized when the sad people went and told other people someone died, those people got sad. The robots then looked at sadness like a contagion and started exterminating anybody who was sad because they were spreading sadness. And the death resulted in more sadness. So the doctor and I think it's with Claire or whatever her name is, they're walking around with like fake smiles on their faces. And the robots are like, ding. And they're like, just keep smiling, otherwise they'll kill you. That's what it's going to be like in the future.
Yeah, probably. And that's great, because then everyone will be happy.
Yes, right.
That's important.
Do you see, remember the Treehouse of Horror on Simpsons, where he goes back in time, and then he like...
Flanders is in charge.
Yeah, Flanders is in charge, and everyone...
Badly how?
Yeah, Moe is lobotomized, and he's like, re-education camps. Yeah, you're laughing, but you're not going to be laughing when you're actually walking in there.
Yeah, I will, because I'll have to be happy. You know, I'll be faking, I'm like, that's right.
This is great, guys. They're going to be like, okay, who's next? Ah, freedom
teams. Yeah, you think they're even going to try to re-educate me? Dude, I'm done.
Re-educate. They're going to be like, we want you to start making... friendly tunes.
I'd be like, look, I've been making Biden tunes since like 2014, you guys. Huge fan of old Joe. No malarkey Joe.
I think they might actually accept that. They'll be like, yeah, we don't like Joe either. That was the old guard.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I was always a big Joe Biden supporter.
I see a marks on that t-shirt.
Wait, what happened? What are you saying? I have Joe Biden on this t-shirt too as a lifeguard.
Seamus from Freedom Tunes sells a Karl Marx t-shirt.
Yeah, Karl Marx is actually on this t-shirt too.
There you go.
There's a lot of people. Yeah, good old Bernie Sanders.
Move it up a little.
Good old Bernie.
That's the guy with the red hat.
Is Bernie Sanders torching a squad car?
No, he's not doing it, but he's definitely there when it's happening.
It looks like he's cheering for it.
It's like, what? Why would someone do something so awful? Oh, no, that might intimidate people into supporting the things I believe in.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not insinuating Bernie's okay with that stuff.
Does Biden have hairy legs on that shirt?
We got hairy legs. Well, it wouldn't be an accurate depiction if he didn't have hairy legs.
He's actually
but he doesn't
actually.
He's just like dressed as a lifeguard up here.
Got hairy legs.
Got hairy legs.
Put in a brain barrel. Bang on a curb.
What if it was Biden re-education and we just all had to learn to talk like that?
We started saying malarkey.
No malarkey, Jack.
Record players. Remember when he said radio, but then corrected himself to record player or whatever?
Yeah, he's like, sure, not the radio, the record player. And he's like, what was he? I remember seeing that live. He was talking about ways to be attentive to your child or something, or things that are good for their intellectual development. He's like, you talk to that kid when they're in their crib. You play the radio, the record player, something really bizarre. I was like, that is my president.
He was trying to tell moms to stick their kid in front of the iPad and press play and walk away so that they can watch videos of the Incredible Hulk and Adolf Hitler doing Tai Chi dances together while an Indian family sings nursery rhymes.
I appreciate you shouting out my second channel.
So it's you who made those things. Well, you get the government you vote for, man.
Yeah. Or don't vote for if you didn't vote.
Ooh. No, I don't know. George Carlin said, don't blame me. I didn't vote for these people.
No.
It's like, what do you need to do?
I voted Kodos.
Okay, that's right.
Another Simpsons reference, yeah.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. I'm not confident, but I am confident in locality. Hmm. You know, I'm not confident in the federal government, but I'm confident, you know, being out in the middle of nowhere. I think it's the cities that are in trouble.
Voting works if you do it right. If you have like a local system, you're like, what do you guys want for dinner tonight? And everyone's like, I want, you know, let's tally it up. And then, so it's not, not that I don't trust voting, but I don't trust that like voting another representative into office is going to fix this freaking this behemoth.
Yeah, of course not.
We need to do that ourselves.
Well, it's the people we elected who destroyed this whole thing.
Yeah, or that we didn't elect, like the head of the Federal Reserve, the people that we are appointed by the people we elected.
Yeah, a lot of people, like the parliamentarian in the Senate. Mm-hmm. There's how many positions are just appointed? Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to be a republic. It's fascinating because you hear this argument about we're not a democracy. It's not supposed to be a democracy. And I'm like, well, if you think about it that way, then the people who win in the democracy, like the Democrats, are just the elites who manipulate and seize power. So I guess what's the issue then? If we were actually functioning the way the Founding Fathers intended, one of the problems that created the 17th Amendment was that the state governments felt the appointments and the federal politicians' appointments to the Senate were corrupt. Mm-hmm. So the way it used to be, you'd vote for your state representatives. They would appoint senators to send to the federal government. There was concern that people were just buying these appointments, kind of like with, you know, ambassadorships. So then they were like, okay, we shouldn't do this. Let's change it. Let's do a popular vote. Now you've got the problem with the popular vote. I don't know what the solution is. Seems like no matter what you get corruption.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There we go. Just corruption. No matter. But no, I mean, that's true in any system. I think like a representative republic works a whole lot better than a direct democracy, though.
Yeah, I think so. Well, this has been a heck of an awful internet show, and I don't know, man. All of our redundancies broke.
Yeah,
so I don't know what you do about it, but it's
my fault. I didn't bring the kind of energy tonight that I usually bring. Just woke up from a nap, a little bit tired. I am just exhausted lately, fellas.
Allow yourself to be inspired.
I know.
Dude, it was a nice day today. I was just thanking the earth. I was thinking the earth.
I was napping.
Let me see if you guys can get down with this, that the earth isn't like an organism. It is... like a god.
I disagree there.
That the earth is a god? I was actually going to tweet that out. Earth is a god. I think I was
I would have been in your replies disagreeing with you.
You wouldn't have hard
no,
on that.
No, hard no on that for me.
I don't know. It's just such a powerful force and entity and like wind and everything moving in unison.
I think that you should view the earth as the individual components. Like you can look at the dirt and find these really cool things. Mm-hmm. You can find worms. You can examine the grass. You can look at everything in nature and just be incredibly amazed by it. And probably the way Seamus would go with that would be there is an incredible creator.
Exactly.
Somebody who put it together, every bit of this for every creature that eats the grass and the worms and the berries.
You know what I love?
Exactly.
You know I love simulism, right? Yeah. Simulation theory. So the idea is we're in a simulation. But why would they make that supposition? Why would they determine that the thing that we exist in, that it's a simulation, right?
Wait, who's they?
Like anybody, Elon Musk. Okay. He talks about this, right?
Yeah.
So they say it's a simulation. We're in a computer program. And I'm like, why is it a simulation is like a facsimile representation of something else. So like simulated flight, right? It's that the implication is that they know there's a top level base reality that's identical to ours in many ways.
Interesting. Yeah.
And we're simulated of it. And I'm like, if you believe we're in a computer program, why wouldn't you say we're in a construct?
Hmm.
We are living within a programmed construct.
That's how I see gender, Tim.
What's a program? A set of rules and commands that create a system, a great plan that was put in place. So it's funny when they say simulation. The only difference between that and saying we are in a constructed reality by a greater power is that they think we are built in the image of the reality that we come from, which it's just religion. It's just
it's its own religion. Yes, exactly.
No.
It's just a different spin on religion.
Yeah. It's like all they're doing is changing a word to make it sound like it's science when it's still just.
And religion. The problem is it is. We are simulating our environment with our senses. Our senses are like receiving electrical impulses and then changing the way that we perceive the impulse. And then you have what's referred to as a sense. But that's just a simulated experience. You're taking binary impulses and then turning it into a perceived expression. So we do live within a simulate. Your environment is simulated, but that doesn't mean that simulation theory is a real thing. It doesn't mean it just like. What? It is more, I think it would be more of a constructed
matrix. No, what I'm saying is,
matrix,
would you call Grand Theft Auto a simulation?
No.
Well, that's like a driving simulator, you know? That's how I learned.
It's a construct. Yeah. I mean, it's a constructed virtual reality.
I guess it's both.
So look, I'll put it this way.
But what's sad about...
That we got to a point where we understood computers enough to where we started describing our reality like a simulation. Mm-hmm. And what they're basically saying is that some higher power created a simulated version of their reality for which we live in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, that just sounds like religion, but you're trying to like spin it.
And we sort of talked about this before, I think in one of my earlier appearances, but people sort of view that as like a more sophisticated approach to religion, but it's actually much more rudimentary, because what you're doing is you're just applying all of these human characteristics to God. And so instead of saying like we are created in God's image and likeness, you're saying like God creates like with tools the way that we create, and he's like kind of disinterested in his creation the way that we are with the things we create. Like in the Christian tradition, God created the entire universe. He's aware of everything that's happening in it. He loves us all. He's invested in all of us. If you believe in simulism, you do believe there's a creator, but first of all, that creator is not uncreated. It's another creature like we are, or like we think we are, I guess, if we're only simulated. And who's to say he cares about you at all? The computer developed you. The computer is what's keeping you alive, not him.
Do you care about do you care about homeboy when you're playing GTA?
Yeah, exactly.
Not really. Yeah. Like, you don't want to lose all your health, but like you send dude on rampages and then he gets hit by cars and planes and goes flying.
Did you ever play Paperclip Simulator?
No.
You play as an AI that's tasked to build paperclips, and then it goes out of control, and you just keep making more and more paperclips, and then you can start breaking the paperclips down to create energy to make more paperclips, and you amass all carbon life on Earth to create more paperclips. Then you go out and send drones out into space that make paperclips out of themselves.
No, for real?
Yeah. And at what point do you care about any one of those individual paperclips? Because if there... I don't. I care that there are 600 trillion of them in my account, but I don't know, not one of them matters to me.
Yeah.
Let's go to Super Chats.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll go to Super Chats to the best of our abilities because the internet's been all whacked out.
Boy.
It's been rough, dude. I woke up at 4 a.m. with the smoke alarm going off.
Yes.
The fire department comes out. And, like, people are just like, I don't want to go outside. And I'm like, the smoke alarm went off and the fire department's coming. Get out of the house.
I wanted to vlog.
I got up. I left immediately. Ian started playing drums.
Yeah, I just went out.
I was like, I want to go back to sleep after this, dude. You're like.
Could you hear it in the house?
Dude, I was still sitting outside. I was I'm just gonna like sit up against this tree and get a little bit of shut eye. And then Ian's like, I have other plans. I am the greatest drummer.
Do an Ian impersonation.
Oh, I don't know if I could do one yet. I gotta spend a little more time around.
Let's go read some super chats. All right, for everybody who hung out as long as you did, hey, thanks for hanging out. I know it's been all wonky.
Yeah.
When we upload this to iTunes and Spotify, you're not gonna notice any breaks. But you will notice us saying things like, the internet's out again, a lot, which you don't hear because YouTube just like skips it over. So I actually think, you know, like we're live for like 2 hours. The YouTube video will be like an hour 50
It'll
or something.
It'll be like 12 minutes.
because the internet cut out so much. But we'll reach Super Chats, and thanks for hanging out. And smash the like button and become a member at TimCast.com, because the bonus segment will have no interruptions because it's recorded and then uploaded. All right.
And you know what else? Just go to freedomtunesmerch.com.
You're gonna break
support
me. Oh yeah. All right. Stairs Into Space Gaming says, hey Tim, wanted to say thanks for recommending crypto back in December. Hoping my recommendation for graphene production pays off for you as much as crypto did for me. Also, shout out to my fellow graphene disciple Ian. Cheers. I invested a decent amount in a company that makes graphene.
Exciting.
And it's done well.
What's graphene?
It's this
don't,
stuff.
Don't.
It's a
don't.
It's a single lattice
too late
of monatomic carbon.
You know what,
carbon.
I just remembered. I already know.
You're gonna. I gotta go. It was great meeting.
All right. Image JPEG says, Tim, please get Ron Paul on. All that's going on is on purpose. A history of money and banking in the U.S. shows corruption going far into the past. Mm-hmm. Ron Paul has a standing invitation to come on this show whenever he wants. I'm a big fan of Ron and Rand.
He's amazing.
Yep. The Micro Titan says, here is your donation, Tim. Buy a new house. We're going to be setting up some... We're hiring. You know, I'll just put it that way. I'll leave it there. I won't get too specific.
I actually had a question regarding the cost of lumber and steel going up. Are house prices also going up as a result, or just constructing the houses?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, the value of the lumber in the house is calculated into the value of the house?
Well, so here's what's happening. In order to build a new house... it's like $30,000 to $40,000 more expensive to build the house because of lumber costs and steel.
So what
happens then is a house that would normally, a new construct that would sell for $200,000 sells for $250,000, which means the value of the neighboring houses is also going to rise at the same time. Because it's just market forces. If someone's like, why buy a new house if the house next to it is the same price? Well, then people don't build new houses. Then there's no supply. Then someone builds a new house, and then someone is forced to buy the more expensive house. And then the people are like, I'm not going to sell my house if the new houses are going for the same price. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask for a premium. So now you've got people in D.C., the famous story we talked about, $1 million over asking, which was like 25% because it was already an expensive house. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. It was 33% over asking.
Wow.
33% over asking. So people are basically looking at old houses that are selling at like 300, and they're like, based on lumber and steel, that should be 400. I'll buy it.
And lumber's up 40%. Is that what it was? 40?
Lumber's 300. Up 600.
Wow. It was 300% a couple weeks ago.
Dude.
A month ago.
Look at crypto. Bitcoin, the price of Bitcoin and lumber are like very similarly tracked together. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah. Creepy stuff.
No coincidences.
All right. Let's see what we got. Pioneer Smokehouses says Jim Worthington from Newtown Athletic Club is suing MoveOn for malicious and defamatory. MoveOn is trash. Everything they say is leftist. Well, I mean, yeah. Thomas B. Moore says, heads up, Ian. Trump signed the Farm Bill in 2018 with hemp and CBD legalization in it. USDA finalized and released regulations on January 15th, 2021.
Excellent.
Evil Zombie Hamster says, was Bitcoin invented or discovered? Glad to see you back, Seamus.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. I like and that to question. Answer your question. No.
No, quick.
No. I suppose that's a question we could ask about just about anything that gets created.
Rye CH says, Ian may be right. According to an article on Reason, Trump had a 9% tax and Biden is planning to double it and make it retroactive to 2019, putting importers on the hook for back tariffs.
Oh, wow, that would be such a good idea.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
I wouldn't even be remotely surprised if he did that.
The Lukewarm Gamer says, Steven Crowder had a great Evangelion intro today. Where is your cool intro? The fact you don't have one makes me speechless. Speaking of speechless, you know the rest. Ha ha.
It's now available for order.
Okay. Then I absolutely will do intros. That'll be great. We'll do a Dragon Ball. We'll make one where Ian goes Super Saiyan.
Sitcom intros where like we turn and smile at the camera.
Wow. Yes. And then like, yeah.
Just like the Full House intro, yeah! Dude.
You start with the
shot of the big Tim house and it's like.
We'll do a Simpsons catch gag. Yeah. We'll do one with Ian going Super Saiyan.
I'm so into it.
Yeah. Dad! Fighting Seamus.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Android Seamus 17.
Yeah, that'll be a character. Like, I'll have a cool catchphrase and stuff.
You'll be like at the bar Ian. And the grind bar and you'll like turn and smile.
No. Ian's, what character would Ian be in Dragon Ball Z?
Oh, dude, I didn't watch Dragon Ball Z at all.
I don't know it.
I didn't have cable, Tim. Come on.
Yeah, man. I don't know if there's a character that would represent you very well.
That's gonna get creative.
All right, bringer of D says, Tim, FYI, red flannel isn't a requirement, but there's 20 beaver bucks towards towards your lumberjack future. Go get yourself a good axe and learn how to sharpen and maintain your tools. Most of it can be done with a good file.
Well, there you go.
What is this? KM says, when is there going to be a stoned Timcast or a drunk one? See Ian singing Grateful Dead or Fish songs, LOL. San Dimas High School football rules.
That's a Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted reference. San Dimas rules.
I'd love to have a rock and roll podcast one of these nights.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, just play some music.
Roger B says, I work at a plastic injection company, and it's getting hard to get the raw plastic to run the non-medical part. Nor can we get people to run the press.
Wow.
We bought 3D printers. We got a bunch of them. Dude, you ever see a resin printer?
No.
You've seen a resin printer,
I love
right?
them.
I don't even know what it is.
So resin's liquid. Mm. And they use, it's ultraviolet, right?
Yeah, they multiple ways, but that's one of them.
Ultraviolet light hardens it. So what happens is there's a screen and there's resin and then a plate touches the resin and then the light from the UV hits the plate, hardening the resin on the plate, and the plate slowly moves up. It looks like it's pulling something out of the resin.
It's crazy.
But it's just hardening in sequential order. So like as it lifts up, you'll see like the figure. And so if you were like painting like if you were printing like a resin horse, mm-hmm. you would see like the hooves and then the body and then it would like lift up and you're like, whoa, it looks like it just pulls it out of nothing. Man. Like magic.
I think they're making like organic compounds out of like chemical resin soup. I could be wrong, but I remember seeing like resin printers that were printing like living structures and stuff out. Like they just pull the heart out of the goo or something like that, or the kidney or something, I think.
Andy Plays a Game says, Tim, about the sleeping bag thing. No, use Borg alcoves. Much more expensive and a way to sink money. Oh, wait, no computer chips available. Never mind.
Oof.
Bummer. Dude, we've been waiting for 2 months on this computer. It's still not here.
Wild. We should buy more computers.
You should I tried. More. Dude, there was like the inventory is just trash. So we need a network terminal and we need some workstations. And they're just really bad. It's like the bottom of the barrel at this point.
That's rough.
Dude.
Very weird.
And they're saying, oh, it's like demand is so high, but supply isn't caught up yet. And I'm like,
yeah.
If people can't buy the thing they want to buy, what's going to incentivize them to go make things? It's like if I want to buy a computer and I can't get it, then my money doesn't have the same value. If the computer was sitting there shiny and sparkly, and I'd be like, man, I got to go get a job so I could buy that computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like no computer the there? Way so, technology works is we build it off of what we had already built. So like a laser, you get a diamond or a crystal that focuses the laser to cut another crystal smaller to make a better laser that can cut the crystal even smaller to make another laser that can cut it even smaller. So you make these better. So if all of a sudden every laser and every crystal was just gone and we had to start from scratch again, I don't know that we would be able to build these advanced machines or obviously we have, if we have the data and the understanding of how to get there, we'll get there faster, but we still would need to recreate the step-by-step system, I think.
DJ Maverick says, it's my first super chat and I was wondering if you have control on what ads you have on your videos. Cause this ad popped up and it scared me because of what it is. I tweeted at you, can't link it here. Hmm. No, it's all automatic systems. So on the podcast and on YouTube, it's a totally automated system. There are some ads where I literally do the reads and that appears on the podcast. Those are the ones that are like sent to me and they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then most ads are just automated systems. Yeah. So it was funny like when Bloomberg was advertising on my my videos where I was like, Bloomberg's trash.
That's funny.
And then a video appears like, I'm Michael Bloomberg.
Dude,
vote for me.
There were Bloomberg videos everywhere for, dude, it was like a strange couple weeks. I did, yeah, they were like, this is okay. We did a cartoon about it at Freedom Tunes. There were just Bloomberg ads everywhere. You guys should check that one out. Go look it up. Classic Freedom Tunes.
It's a good time.
Bloomberg invasion.
I'm Mayor Bloomberg.
Ugh.
He was.
Oh, great. The internet is just so trash right now. I'm Mayor Bloomberg, and I'm going to take all of your guns away by spending $500 million. Tax the poor.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know if the internet's down for just us,
oh,
but
no.
Google's not loading. Weird. Oh, come on. There we go. Let's see what we got.
Oh, cicada tacos.
Asian cicadas instead of the local ones. Oh, interesting. Mm. Let me just show you the story real quick. Real quick. Why a Leesburg restaurant plans to serve Asian cicadas now instead of the local variety. They say late last week, the Loudoun County Health Department told Cochina on Market in Leesburg to stop selling its newly popular cicada tacos. The reason, according to the health department, was that the cicadas, which were being foraged for locally, were not coming from an approved source.
What?
That's right. You can't just eat and sell grubs and bugs
off the
ground.
You can't just sell bugs you found on the ground? That's really
right.
Weird.
That's crazy.
So this was happening literally in Leesburg. The guy was going, there's a video of him walking in the yard going, here's a good one, and grabbing a cicada and throwing it in like a jar or something. Ugh. So this was literally happening. And I tell people, hey, don't eat those because they're not properly sourced. And now the health department has said, yes, you can't do that.
Tim, you specifically told me to eat as many as I possibly could. Yeah.
We need you
to
eat
like,
as
Seamus,
as you
just go out back. I was like, hey, Tim, what are you doing? You're like, just go out in the backyard, eat as many cicadas as you can. I was like, all right.
Dude, they're flying around like crazy.
Wow. I know.
And I was hunting them. I got all sweaty this morning.
You were like, clever girl.
I had the, I had the salt gun.
Salt gun.
And I was like, I'm going to put a GoPro on it and make a FPS
cool.
Cicada hunting.
First of
because
all,
they're, like,
PETA's going to go nuts on you, Tim.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Your PETA followers are all the PETA
true.
Subscribers.
We have so many, yeah.
Chickens got to eat.
When you said you blasted their wings off, or was that what was happening? You would hit them with a salt shotgun,
and then they would just flutter down. They would like,
wow.
And then their wings just don't work, and then just throw them in the chicken flack.
For the chickens.
Yeah, so like I can walk up and just boop them into the jar, and then throw the jar in the chicken coop, and the chickens go nuts and just maul them like crazy. But the ones that are flying around, I just, you know, pop.
You would hit them out of the air?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then they just like flutter down. Ooh, and then
see, killing for a purpose is nice, like hunting.
Yes,
I got chickens to feed, bro.
I knew kids in fifth grade that would take the plastic bat out and hit lightning bugs. I might have told you guys about this.
That's whack.
Yeah, and I wouldn't do it. I just felt morally like corrupt by it, and I felt all sad, and they didn't want to be my friend, but it wasn't worth it.
You must serve negative entropy, Ian.
Had we been feeding
the
chickens.
The goal of hunting the cicadas was to contribute to the expansion of chicken kind.
Chicken.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Dude,
not just for there's no destruction in it. It was the cicada was becoming one with the chicken so the chicken could become more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just that's killing the cicada for the sake of killing it's messed up.
Convert cicadas to eggs.
But I do have a rule. The chickens that escape, I let them escape.
Escape? So you mean like, the cicadas? This is chickens.
Yeah, oh, yeah, chickens. I was like, wait, what?
No. The chickens are good. I don't hunt the cicadas that escape. So when I'm walking along the bush, yeah, well, I know, but hold on. So what happens is there's cicadas chilling, and I'll walk up and I'll boob them into the jar. The ones that fly out and flutter away, I won't go after. You know why? Because the dumb ones, I'm helping. I'm helping with evolution.
That's, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be impossible for you to catch cicadas next time.
No, like,
you're letting all the smart ones go.
In 100 years, cicadas are like 10 feet tall. Yeah. They're like massive and they're eating people. And it's like, why did Tim let them go?
Well, this is funny, right? Because with most insects, if you do something like that, you can actually affect their population. But because these cicadas have a 17-year long life cycle, it would actually take quite a while for you to have a significant impact on the species.
Yeah, way more than 100
years. If you kill the dumb of like...
like roaches. So this is a problem with pest control. They, like most pests, like roaches, reproduce really quickly. So if you spray them in your apartment, some small number of them will have immunity, and then they can just reproduce, and then all of the ones that you end up with in the future have immunity. So you have like these super roaches. And that only happens because their life cycles are so short.
Yeah.
But with cicadas that live for 17 years, it's going to take quite a while to have any significant impact on their lineage.
Chicken food.
Thank you.
All right. Entomology. Uncultured Barbarian says, next up on Cyber Attack Bingo, the power grid. Check out the World Economic Forum's Cyber Polygon event coming up next month. Worth anyone's time to see what they're pushing in Davos now.
Mm.
Roberto Lara says, Tim, make a Fungus Among Us series with Freedom Tunes.
What?
We'll make
Let's
a
talk
video
about
game.
It.
Yeah. I love it.
Fungus Among Us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Erica Baum says, Andy doing what he loves shouldn't be slighted. I understand your take, but not everyone wants to do what you do, Tim. Some people love the live action. Maybe this will make more, will wake up more people to Antifa. See, a lot of this stuff with Andy Ngo to me sounds like, tribal fighting and not journalism. When the left engages in activism and they bar people from filming things under the guise of this person's a white supremacist who's trying to dox us, the left cheers and celebrates it, saying you got to get rid of those bad, evil activists. When someone goes down into a situation which deters from actually reporting on what these groups do and they become the story, it inhibits our ability to actually get the message out. Regular people see stories like this and it becomes tribal conflict, has nothing to do with news. So the simple way to put it, I went to Venezuela. I got accused of being a spy. I immediately left. Vice asked me to stay and make the story about me. I said no. I went to Sweden. I covered the story. I was a bit of the story to the Swedes, but I was there to report to Americans. And so I reported what was going on. And I said, I'm going to do my videos. I won't go back to Sweden. I went to Thailand, did a documentary on the conflict there. And afterwards, it embarrassed some very powerful people. And they said, you don't want to go back. So I didn't. When you're assigning journalists to do stories, you don't send a woman into Tahrir Square because they were literally raping women. So why would you just create that risk? We have security protocols for these things. So Andy is the number one prime target for Antifa. He is allowed to be a journalist. I get that. Women should be allowed to walk around at night without fear of being raped, but rapists exist. So I think personal responsibility exists in these circumstances. At a certain point, you just can't keep doing the same thing and think it's not having an impact. Journalists need to recognize when they are causing the stories to change and they're no longer reporting the news, they're affecting the news, which creates very serious problems. So I don't know what else to tell you. I think Andy should start a 501c3 media organization that tracks left-wing extremism, and he should hire more people to do what he does. In the event that Andy goes out and gets killed by these people, which they clearly want to do, then there's no more Andy Ngo doing any reporting, so I think it's reckless and stupid. I think he has a tremendous opportunity with the support of all of you, clearly love what he does, to expand his operation and use his experience, his know-how, to allow other people to expand. Now, instead of having just one Andy Ngo, Andy can help lead 10 Andy Ngos. And with your support, helping him fund it, he could do something much more powerful. James O'Keefe isn't going to go inside Planned Parenthood or Facebook or any of its organizations anymore. He started an organization, he hired people, now they do it, and he leads the charge. That's the way it is. The world should be certain ways, but it isn't. The real world is not, you know, what we want it to be. That's just that's life.
Yeah, we talked about last night a little bit. Andy's been on my mind a lot for about 10 months because after he got hurt last August or something, yeah. It really disturbed me. And there's this like trope of the young soldier, the young warrior prince who like goes out and leads the troops for years and years and years and fights on the front lines, but then eventually retires to the throne room because his experience and intellect is too valuable to risk on the front lines. And that on top of being well known by sight, obviously you can't put yourself in danger physically. You need to retire. I mean, that's not
retire.
You don't need to, but
expand.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly,
do more.
If you can become an administrator and administrate other young warriors to lead the charge, that's the idea of the ancient king. You know, yeah. It's the evolution of the young prince into the old king.
I mean, a lot of the work he was still doing was aggregating information and being that source for people. So he knows who to follow. He knows where to get that key information. He's still able to report without being in the midst of like a local Antifa, you know, group or whatever. So now he can actually hire new people who can go down and infiltrate like James O'Keefe does.
I guess to give context. Oh, I don't know if people know what we're talking about. Andy went undercover to an Antifa, was in Portland, I think.
Yeah.
And then they found out it was him and then chased him and attacked him. Yeah.
Imagine if Andy had an operation like Veritas, where instead of just him going down for one protest, he had 10 people across the country at all of their meetings.
Yeah. You'll get people in Antifa that contact you, Andy, via email. It's telling you and giving you undercover stuff. It'll be great.
It's time to go big. All right. Let's see. Let's see what we got. Jamie Chaffin says, I was told they already won. I said the wrong doors have not been knocked on yet. They don't understand when they knock on the wrong doors, they will have an answer. Mm. Maybe. Daniel Young says, Tim needs Starlink or other reliable ISP to stream. We have satellite. We quite literally have a satellite backup. It's not working. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Something happened when the power got knocked out. It affects the whole area in a variety of reasons. But that doesn't explain satellite. I don't know why the satellite got knocked out. It's probably our internal network got frazzled. Yeah. So we're going to have to do some kind of reset, you know.
A great reset?
It is what it is. A great reset.
It's got to be great.
Kelnon Telf says, Mike Lindell just sued Dominion for $2 billion. His evidence package from an InfoSec side is a smoking gun showing 555,864 votes switched from Trump to Biden. What? Basically, if he's not fabricating evidence, it's indisputable proof. So that's kind of a funny statement. If it's not proof, it's proof. We're going to have to see what the courts say, and people are going to have to investigate, I suppose. Sol Invicta says, quit blaming banks for people who are stupid and corrupt. The average voter is stupid and corrupt. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's tough to say. I think the average voter is self-interested is the problem.
Yeah, you want to definitely get personal responsibility, but predatory behavior is a real thing that we need to watch out for. And
Dylan says, I am a gorilla, and I just became a member to Tim's website in 4 juicy bonus segments. Hmm. When you become a member at timcast.com, we have a huge library of content. We're going to have it sorted better by topics and everything moving forward. We have a company that's been working overtime to expedite out the launch of a beautiful, amazing looking new website. You guys are going to love it. And the Newswire, we're going to have like a newsroom. Still trying to hire journalists. Oh, man, it's so hard. You know, at a certain point, I'm going to have to stop doing like one of my shows so that I can, you know, do what I'm saying and start focusing on hiring more people. Because so long as I'm spending, you know, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. recording and then having only a few hours to do like banking stuff and then I do this show, I don't have the time to actually hire and expand. So if I allocated more like the mornings to actually hiring people and expanding, then we'd probably way bigger, way faster.
You could just hire me to be the replacement Tim. I'll do those videos for me. You get me a beanie boy.
Got you a beanie?
I'm in front of that camera.
Just have you
I'm
do
on it.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have the Illinois boys sub in for you. Some days boys. It's me, some days it's Jack.
There you go.
We know all your opinions.
I'm getting true. Very excited.
No, I mean, at a certain point, I have to recognize that. You know what I mean?
I hear
you. Is it effective for me to keep just recording 3 hours every single day, or
what's your ideal like life?
What do you mean?
Like, if you could pick, like, it's happening how you want it to happen. What's a natural day for you?
Literally, what's happening?
But I mean, you say you need to do less videos to do more administrative
stuff. So I can focus more on hiring people and growing the company.
But you like doing the videos?
The challenge is that I stopped doing videos, a lot of the money stops coming in.
My dad was a fireman, and had an opportunity to become a captain, but didn't want to because he didn't want to take the desk job.
Yeah.
He liked being there with men and like leading the group into the house. I don't know.
Diana Cooper says, BlackBerry, rocket, 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 smiley, smiley, smiley. Is BlackBerry skyrocketing?
Excuse me?
Oh. Apparently.
Oh.
We have a mulberry tree.
Oh, I still haven't had one.
Yes, we do. I ate some of those today, dude.
Did you like them?
Really good, yeah.
They're kind of bland.
Yeah.
Tree berries?
I mean, they're not incredible, but, you know, it's just, it's free food from outside. I felt like an anarcho-primitivist. I was like, this is how it should have been. I was like, this is what they took from us.
That's right. There's a cicada, and it's holding the mulberry, like standing on it, and you pick him, and you get both. Same
I know, I eat both at the same time. Yeah. And honestly, they're delicious. I don't know what you guys are talking about with this fungus. That's
it's full of amphetamines.
So what do? Take the mulberries, mix it with sugar?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
No, I was just straight up eating mulberries.
You take the mulberries. You got to get the stems off them, and then you like we'll put it in a pan, and you'll put sugar in it, and you just cook it, and put some lemon juice in it,
some other juice with it,
and then it simmers down. What do you mean?
I think that they're not sweet enough.
Oh well, you put sugar in it.
Oh okay.
Yeah, just some regular.
I'm sorry,
sugar
what nature has to provide isn't good enough for you guys.
That's right.
I'm sorry, the food that literally. Just
I mean,
up
it's
for
actually
you
know, like if you're doing keto, you can have berries because berries don't have a lot of sugar in them.
Depending on the berries.
Yeah, like mulberries. Yeah. Like it's not they're not very sweet. They're kind of
they have fiber in them.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. All right, let's see. We'll do a couple more of these here super chats. Cheryl Lee says, there are also shipping container shortages due to lack of truckers and dock workers. Mm-hmm. Containers aren't being sent back to ports of origin. There have been container ships waiting 7 to 10 days to be unloaded at Cali's only two seaports. That's San Pedro and what's the other one?
I think
there's north. For the north?
There must be one near San Francisco.
San Pedro's massive,
Where
dude.
Is that?
Well, San Pedro, it's like south of L.A.
Yeah, I did a commercial out there once on a
crazy
boat.
Crazy, dude. Oh, driving past, you're like, that's nuts.
It's on YouTube. Look for the square fish Long John Silver commercial.
Oh, Ian, there goes your shipping container idea.
I want to build shipping containers.
Ryan C. says Ian is Chiao Tzu. And, like, I guess it's as close as you can get because Chiao Tzu's got psychic powers.
Okay, that's my style.
Yeah, but Chiao Tzu's like a tiny floating little, like, imaginary thing.
I'd be the guy you find if you're like playing a game and you come up on this dude, this like wizard dude that's fighting off like three goblins or whatever, and he's getting beat down, and if you don't save him he dies, but if you save him he joins you, and he's like this weird like wizard guy.
Mark Jensen says, as if Ian didn't make much sense before, try having the internet cut out and then back in mid-rant.
Because it wasn't.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Like, actually,
listen,
Tim's
the
like,
thing about graphene, you got to understand this material and it clips. It's like, and so when the aliens are coming,
I feel so sorry for you.
And that's when the fungus affected
it. It mostly made sense over here.
I looked at the transcript and actually it never cut out when Ian was talking. That was just how he sounded.
It's just confusing.
Yeah, what are you talking about? The internet's been fine the whole time.
I'm trying to formulate the thought. That's crazy.
All right, we got a couple more. Let's see. Legitimath, Gion. Regarding what you were earlier talking about, where one day we'll have BLM flags everywhere and a little while later you need to report to the gulag, I think the language needs a new word. Frog boiling. Progressive, bad faith, harmful aggression. Love you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The frogs in the pot, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what we got. Sonny James says, did you guys hear about the actual soil dying in parts and useful only for GMO seeds? Talk about the utmost disaster capitalism. Aaron Brockovich sounded the alarm on infertility. Could you imagine if you had to get the government's assistance to reproduce? Yikes.
This is like the genetically modified corn that would... are they saying that it would infect the soil and make it so you would need to keep getting that same genetically modified seed in order to grow it in your area?
Yeah, they
would do that. It's almost like they hold like the farmer, they blackmail these farmers by getting them on this like genetically modified plan, and then they can't they have to keep buying the pesticides, you know, the glyphosate or whatever.
All right, yeah, well, two more here. Nicholas Grenier says, did you see the Hills poll showing that 83% of Americans support government action against China if lab leak theory proven true? Did you see the story where Chinese state media threatened nuclear war if we investigated the origins of COVID?
No. Yeah. Yep. Ooh. It's almost like Russia wasn't the biggest threat for all this time. We were told that Russia was the biggest threat.
Imagine World War III breaking out with Joe Biden as president.
Oh.
Oh yeah, come gosh. On, man. Xi Jinping, what are you doing, man? Come on. I'm fire a nuke.
Clap for that, you stupid. And then,
no, it's all like, so Joe Biden's like, you make me, come on, man. I don't want to fire the nukes. Mr. President, you fired them already.
What?
Oh
my gosh.
Anyway.
Trinidad
Shabbat of Pressure, Better Calf Care says, I'm all about Biden re-education camps. We should all talk like him. Huge fan. Huge.
Huge.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Turn it on a shot of pressure.
China.
Has anyone written the Turn it on a shot of pressure song yet?
I thought about Truman and Shabbat of Pressure. Dun, 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 dun.
Turn it on a Shabbat of Pressure.
Okay.
I can say it faster than he said it.
No.
Shabbat of Shabbat.
I can say it faster than you can say it. Truman and Shabbat of Pressure.
Truman and Nana 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 Shabbat of Pressure.
Better Calf Care.
Truman and Nana Shabbat of Care.
Tune in on a Shop Under Pressure.
Tune in on a Shop Under Pressure.
You too.
Smash the like button.
Smash the like button.
And go if you want to hear me and Seamus just keep saying the same things over and over again, go to TimCast.com for the bonus segment, which will be coming up a little bit. It was brutal. I mentioned like the fire alarm thing and like going out in the morning. Like my back hurts.
Oh, wild. Yeah, that was jarring getting woken up. I was actually still awake, but
that messed me up. What do you mean? What are you talking about? It was jarring getting woken up. Oh, I was still awake. And I started playing the drums.
I saw some firemen. They were cool.
I was exhausted. Yeah.
It's brutal because like my schedule is so jam packed.
Yeah.
I get literally like 7 hours of sleep perfectly as long as I'm undisturbed. So waking up at four, I'm just like, eyes are sunken. I'm like, ugh.
I know, dude. Hardcore. Tim punched me in the head. It was awful.
Oh, I was just brutally beating, boom
through the window.
And me and Seamus were like, we were fighting in the air and like clashing.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. That was partially.
And then you know he did the big bang attack, and I did Kamehameha, and then like the whole sky lit up, and they're like,
"Sorry, I missed this."
They still haven't worked it out.
Seamus' hair turns blonde.
Exactly. I was like,
And we'll see you all. Thanks for hanging out. You can follow the show at TimCast. TimCast IRL on Instagram and Facebook. Share our videos. You can follow me at TimCast. Subscribe to this channel. Smash the like button. And I am deeply impressed with everybody who watched this broken internet video. We had a massive storm hit us, so we'll have to just like reboot the internet and get it sorted. And then just probably set up a protocol for checking audio, visual, and internet before every show so it never happens again. But, you know, we are kind of in the middle of nowhere, so it happens. But, Seamus, I hear you have T-shirts that broke the internet.
I have T-shirts that broke this stream. So if you want to support me at Breaking Tim Streams Up, first of all, just go to YouTube.com/FreedomTunes. We make cartoons. We release them every single week, sometimes twice a week. And I also have these T-shirts for sale if you want to support what we're doing. FreedomTunesMerch.com is the website for those. Boom. So YouTube.com/FreedomTunes. Check that out. Subscribe. Please subscribe. Trying to grow as much as we can. And, also purchase some shirts so that we can fund the show.
Thanks, Seamus.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you, Ian.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming and listening to me talk about graphene and new technologies. And I had a great time. Follow me at IanCrossland.net and at IanCrossland on social media. You get my music on Spotify and Amazon, things like that. Great.
I have never been so happy that I don't live at the studio between the cicadas being woken up at 4 in the morning. It does sound exciting, though, I have to say. Maybe I feel like I should feel like I missed out a little bit, but I'm better rested than these guys are. Yeah. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids as I attempt to overtake Sour Patch Kids.
We will see you guys at TimCast.com in the members-only exclusive where Seamus does the whole show by himself.
By myself.
As Jordan Peterson, Alex Jones, Ben Shapiro, and Dr. Fauci arguing with each other, and I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah,
thanks for hanging out. We'll see y'all then.
Bye, guys.